For the first time ever, Pretty Little Dan Inc. brings to the market the first truly affordable pleasuring device. We wanted to provide a product that anyone could afford. So without further ado, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the 1995 Doodoo Dando. That's right, you can ram your holes with Dan's steamy when you order a Doodoo Dando. Dan promptly heads into a special chamber to produce a one-of-a-kind Doodoo Pookie stick. When Dan is done, his stinky is shellacked, preserved, and then shipped straight to your loved one. Same-day shipping is guaranteed. Imagine the look on your partner's face when they receive their Doodoo Dando. Valentine's Day will never be the same. And coming soon, just in time for Mardi Gras, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the Voodoo Doodoo Dando. It's the Doodoo Dando with the flavor of New Orleans. We force-fed Dan a proprietary blend of jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo, a guitar, a full fruit jar, and a gayo to make this a one-of-a-kind festive dando. But order the Valentine's Day Doodoo Dando now before Dan gets the runs, because nobody wants gooey runny in their big ass. Another proud product of PLD Inc.
Place looks like an ant farm right after you've taken one and shaken it up.
Mm-hmm.
And all the ants, they're rebuilding. All of us are running in circles, flipping lights on, flipping on studio lights, turning on lights for the video stream, turning on the video stream. We need to get a master switch.
I just got really excited. Just the thought of just being able to just walk in, just go, thunk.
Get a clapper.
Oh!
I mean, if you clap loud enough, you can plug everything into a clapper. And I don't know why I'm still talking like this. Anytime I do a dando spot.
You get stuck. That one's nasty.
I didn't write it.
You read it. Fine, you can point fingers at Chloe and Alfie all you want. You all three are nasty. You've all got serious issues. Is Dr. Thornton coming in today?
Yes, he is.
He is?
Yeah, you can't blame this scat thing on me.
You're reading it.
I read it because they...
You're validating their thoughts and their writings.
And you added to it as well, so...
I didn't add anything.
Yeah, you added the guitar and...
the fell fruit jar.
Yeah.
And a gayo.
See? Yes. Sick, sick threesome.
No, I was in the shower this morning, and out of some reason it came to me. I didn't wash my hair. I hopped right out of the shower, ran to the phone, and texted Alfie. Here you go. Let's start going with this.
The doo-doo dendo. I picked the music, though.
Yes. Good choice.
Okay. Good job, Russ. Good job. You did good today.
You even recognize the first song?
No, because no.
It's Do Run Run.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got to play it again.
For the first time ever, Pretty Little Dan Inc. brings to the market the first truly affordable pleasuring device. We wanted to provide a product that anyone could afford. So without further ado, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the 1995 Doodoo Dando. That's right, you can ram your holes with Dan's steamy... When you order a Doodoo Dando, Dan promptly heads into a special chamber to produce a one-of-a-kind Doodoo Pookie stick. When Dan is done, his stinky is shellacked, preserved, and then shipped straight to your loved one. Same-day shipping is guaranteed. Imagine the look on your partner's face when they receive their Doodoo Dando. Valentine's Day will never be the same. And coming soon, just in time for Mardi Gras, PLD.
That one simple line, Valentine's Day will never be the same, I had to cut four times because I kept laughing. Because you're talking about this.
Sure.
Imagine the look on your partner's face when they receive their Doodoo Dando. Valentine's Day will never be the same. And coming soon, just in time for Mardi Gras, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the Voodoo Doodoo Dando. It's the Doodoo Dando with the flavor of New Orleans. We force-fed Dan a proprietary blend of jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo, a guitar, a full fruit jar, and a gayo to make this a one-of-a-kind festive dando. But order the Valentine's Day Doodoo Dando now before Dan gets the runs, because nobody wants gooey runny in their big ass. Another proud product of PLD Inc.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's nasty. Nasty, nasty, nasty.
Keep talking. I gotta turn the air down.
What's a gayo?
It's a line from Jambalaya. It's and be gayo.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I just figured it was something that we should force feed you.
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
In your little chamber.
I had to pull up the lyrics. You want to talk about a hunk of sh- country butt song? Listen to that one.
What song is that?
Jambalaya on the bio.
Okay.
Because I think first person, I think it was Hank Williams, senior. Mother. I couldn't listen to all of it. I stopped the video and I just went, the lyrics got to be printed out someplace. It's
Hank Williams, senior? The only person I've heard do it, I think, is Dr. Hook.
Yeah, the first one that pops up is Hank Williams, Jambalaya. Oh. On the bayou, YouTube.
You want to talk about old, classic, f***ed up country music. That's the epitome. No offense to the Hank Williams family.
It was first released in July of 1952.
Wow. Ooh.
And most of his stuff sounded like that, Hank Williams. At least Hank Williams Jr. added a little rockabilly to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little cool factor.
Yeah.
Then there came Hank III, and he does rockabilly. Then also he does stuff like Kenzie Likes.
Roar. Really?
Yes.
It's a really interesting.
I knew there was a Hank Williams III. I just didn't know what he did.
Yeah. He just takes everything Grandpa did, Daddy did, and then just takes it a whole other step. It's an interesting progression from Granddaddy, Dad, and Son.
So he does a little goth country?
No, well, just like metalcore country, I guess you could say.
Oh. Damn, I wish I had to pull that line from Dan from yesterday.
What, goth?
Yeah. When you're on your Luke Bryan rant.
I actually got quite a bit of feedback on that.
Really?
Yeah. Some lady said that she almost hyperventilated in the middle of her 10K.
Say it again.
Goth? There's only one goth, and that's Goth Brooks.
But it was also the lead up to it.
Yeah.
Because you got so worked up.
It's like you were really twisted at Kenzie.
Let me tell you something.
You and your eye makeup and whatever else you threw
at eye makeup and your singing crap. It's dumb and. Yeah. Goth music.
Damn it. That email that you forwarded me, I forgot to print.
Oh, was that the one that you responded to with the with the girls in bikinis?
Did you print it?
No, I can pull that up real quick. I have the original. Now the subject is simply, Russ is an a-hole. Mm-hmm. Kevin writes, so I need to beep.
Wait a minute. Ready?
So I'm banging my wife, stroking along, humming a tune in my head. Then it dawns on me I'm humming Merle f***ing Haggard. I shake it off. Try and focus on the task at hand. Now, I'm f***ing Russ and Alfie laughing in the background. I'm powering through, doing my best, but all I can hear is... Hind.
Oh, I know what he's talking about.
What is that?
Hold that load be high, hind.
Got it. All right. Doing my best, but all I can hear is high, hind. Finally, I just made up that maybe I drank too much whiskey and quit. This keeps up, and I'm driving to Frisco, and a certain fella's getting slick legged on the hood of a Batmobile.
And I replied with, sorry, boss, maybe this will make up for it. and I typed in, I made it look like a URL. Mm-hmm. That said, girls in tiny bikinis.
Mm-hmm. And then when you...
And then I, the hyperlink that I turned it into what? Was YouTube and Merle Haggard.
Big wheels rolling.
That's a good a-hole moment. Yeah, that's awesome. Woohoo!
All right, he's going to make up for it. He's going to show me some hot little women. Mother
He just made it worse.
Let's see. What else? There's a bunch of stuff coming in all at once.
Humming a tune in my head. Merle effing Haggard.
I wonder why that line would stick in his head. Oh, let load be high-eyed. That's the way Merle sings it. So.
Well, probably if you listen to it enough or hear it enough, it's going to stick.
I'm looking for the audio. I swear I'm not playing the whole thing. I'm just going to get to that line.
Uh-huh.
Help me, Jesus. Right. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man.
Yeah.
And a set of hand to hold that load be high. Big wheels rolling. Who knew? Not only could we make so much money off of one country song in a rock station, but we could create so much damage and emotional distress.
I know. You're ruining sex lives.
Why are you thinking about us while you're having sex? Focus on the moment. Is he queer? You are queer because not only you think about Merle, you think about us.
But it seems to be a running theme. People can't pleasure themselves without thinking. Now people can't have regular sex because of the Merle.
Well, I'm sure Russ is loving this because since it's a part of him, he's now made it a part of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Cause we've become addicted to the drive. It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man. A steady hand and a load that will be high. Big wheels rolling. Kenzie's excited about doing that at the white trash party. She goes, those people are going to start running in circles. It's going to look like that scene out of Family Guy. Where there's this... teen concert event and their chicks up front pulling their eyes out, beating themselves with pans, pulling babies out of their vulvas and slinging around the fetus.
Woo-hoo.
Well, the very beginning of the song, is that the bass player that's making that diesel type rumble, or is that
I don't know. You know what? You asked me that before. I don't really know.
If that's... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It kind of the rumble of a diesel engine.
Oh, I never paid attention to it.
That's what I kind of hear in the beginning. Help me, Jesus.
Sounds like the guitar player's doing something.
Well, I can't play it. You hear what I'm saying at the very beginning?
That first thing.
That. Help me, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
That the I'm not good at identifying instruments.
I don't know.
I can't even really guess. He's doing some sort of.
It's not the drums, right?
No.
Help me, Jesus.
Okay. There's drums underneath it, but it sounds like either a guitar on like a low E or maybe a bass player playing higher up.
No. Ah, screw it. We give it to Terry White, our new steel guitarist. He's got 12 strings. Okay. Oh, Rodney Anderson sent me this clip. I guess he was very proud of it. He had Jeff Krilly, formerly of Fox 4.
Oh, yes.
On his show yesterday.
Okay, now it's getting tricky. I have no work backwards.
And I don't know why Jeff was the go-to guy, but they wanted to ask him what he thought NBC was going to do with Brian Williams.
Well, I'm sure Rodney knows him just because from the PR aspect, because that's Jeff Curley's business now, public relations.
Okay. All right. I listened to, like, the maybe the first minute and then just jump to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end where Crilly has his head all the way up Rodney's ass.
No.
So this has been all over, and who better to have as our special guest? Jeff, he's a friend of Amy's, a friend of mine, Jeff Crilly. He has a thriving and striving PR company. I mean, this thing is fantastic. Mm-hmm. He works with...
Okay, I missed that part.
...with a lot of different clients.
Is he still in town?
Crilly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He was doing a... when I lived in Plano off the tollway, he was doing a live shot at... one of the gas stations. I don't know why. And stop. Talk to him for a while. Oh, I was in the Batmobile.
Oh.
And then I took him home in the Batmobile because he didn't live that far.
Why'd you take him as opposed to him going home in the media truck?
Yeah, he was going to have to ride in the NBC thing. I guess they picked him up at his house. What? I can be nice to people.
No, I know you can. It just sounds odd that they would swing by and pick up the reporter, because usually it's they have their own car.
Well.
But, yeah, okay.
We book them as guests on our show all the time. In fact, this week we'll have Samira. We've had a ton of guests. Jeff.
Samira?
I don't know.
Okay. I think I know who that is.
I don't.
Crilly is with us today to talk about the Brian Williams deal. And welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you, Rodney, Amy. It's an honor to be on your show. You guys just...
All right, I just wanted to make sure something didn't fire off in here when we were playing.
Mm-mm.
I don't know why he has his own intro music. Rodney sent me this clip, and I sent back Rodney the clip to where Jeff was doing a stand-up in front of a house.
Sorry. I still occasionally get sent that.
And there was some type of sex business. They were running out of a house. And right as they went to Jeff with a live shot, one of the cops walks out with his box with the largest rubber dildo I have ever seen. And they made sure it was sticking up out of the box. You could see it almost all the way to the balls. And you know it was intentional because the cop's laughing.
Look what I got. This is evidence.
Oh, and this is the same guy you had on your show.
It's like you're being in your living room listening to a great conversation.
Jeff, bring great me some compliment. Tea. Okay, Jeff, you're the perfect person to comment on this story, not only from your extensive career.
Oh, the perfect person would be Brian Williams.
Yeah.
In news journalism and the manipulations you've seen firsthand in the newsroom, but also from a PR standpoint and how this was handled. What's your take on the announcement he will now be suspended for 6 months? Brian Williams, we're talking about.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think he does not come back. I mean, I watched this debacle, and I'm going to call it a dumb lie. I mean, it was just a really dumb lie. The American public did not need to know that Brian Williams was shot at. He was in a convoy that was shot at. But it was a dumb lie, and as you guys have already pointed out, it's going to cost him, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million. But if you really...
Okay, so you've got Crilly's take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you jump to the end because there was already that compliment. Man, this is, he was talking about Rodney's show. It's a fast hour. It's like listening to, you know, people being in your home. Yeah, that's exactly what I want is Rodney in my effing house.
Rodney's a nice guy.
Find you, Jeff.
Our website is www.realnewspr.com, just like it sounds, realnewspr.com. And thank you so much. Guys, it's a pleasure being on your show. You guys I think you guys, if you're not already on the top of the ratings, you need to be, because this is, I think, the fastest hour in radio in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, I just need to start fabricating some tragedies and some lies, and we'll be on the top of the leaderboard.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You bet.
Not a dry hole in a house.
Hey, that guy over there, he looks dry. I'll get him, too.
Did I get everybody? Did I get that black boy? I don't want anybody to feel left out.
You talking about Baldwin?
Who?
On Rodney's show, his producer.
Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Baldwin.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure you didn't accidentally misspeak.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just making sure you know that there actually is a black gentleman on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys said he used to work with us at CBS?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but sounds like a good guy on the show.
He is. He's a good kid.
How old is he? Is he cute?
I don't know if he's cute.
Man, you know, since you've gone gay, you're real picky.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
3:36. Hang on, there's a police chase on, what is that, NBC5?
Chasing this white Dodge Charger.
And you see that car is going very fast, passing by all of the other cars that are going at a regular highway speed there.
Let's see how they
again, do. Again, we're trying to figure out exactly why police are trying to pull this car over, but we understand it has been going on for quite a few minutes, and we watched it. Chopper 5 has been above it. You see this car traveling onto the shoulder of that highway.
He's forced at Greenville.
LBJ Freeway. Again, that white
Looks
Charger
like he's
being chased
trying
by
to get
police.
Off.
And driving at a very dangerous rate of speed there, passing all the other traffic on the highway.
We have been able to confirm, Christy, from the chopper that this is eastbound LBJ. Once again, this is near the area of Greenville. So this is the North Dallas area, the 635 LBJ, this car racing down the freeway. You can see how much faster this vehicle is moving than the other traffic, just weaving in and out of all these cars here.
And we've seen it travel onto the shoulder to get around these cars. What we're trying to figure out is exactly why this car and why that.
Okay, so they don't know anything. We can do as good of a play-by-play. Okay, he almost nailed one car right there. Now he's gone over to the far right-hand lane. What did they say the direction of travel was?
That's what I was about to ask. Eastbound? There it is. Police have not eastbound
yet
LBJ.
Been able to get ahead of this car to block that traffic.
The car now on the shoulder.
Well, if he's, okay, he's, there's a trooper. He just passed a trooper. Now he just got off at an exit.
Car exiting the highway. I'm not sure of the exit that we're looking at here, but you see
him, I'll tell you in a second.
Kind of lose control
yep.
there
I bet.
As he gets off
Where do you think that
highway.
Is, Greenville?
Well, if anyone in the booth eastbound, has any yeah. idea what exit that
Plano
was.
Road. Okay.
Plano Road. Okay, that's what we're looking
How'd
at.
How'd you figure that out?
Exited
I know
Plano
that area.
Road.
Oh. Damn it, they lost the helicopter feed.
Our shot is going in and out. But
all right, now he looks like he's going through a residential area.
Right now, that car just got off LBJ Freeway at Plano Road.
Hung a left.
Now it appears to be going into more of a...
And I don't see anybody
area.
Directly behind him.
We can't see police from
it's a medium shot on the car.
We are behind this this car to a certain...
So I don't know if the cops are behind him or not.
Really yeah, especially... Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, they just pulled out.
Is now in a residential and there's, area, and they're going at a
there's nobody behind him.
Police
Wait, I think
there's
a
police
car.
Helicopter.
Another
yeah.
chopper. They're passing near our chopper.
There's a squad car.
Where?
That's okay. behind him.
Okay, he just turned back on to... It looks like Plano again.
A two-lane road there. And again, speeding up again. Still with police...
It looks like one of the new Challengers.
And again, police have not.
I think that's
a
scat pack.
Driver at this point.
No, I don't think so with the striping.
There looks like he ran a red light.
It's just ugly.
Looks like he's headed on
right,
Walnut
let's
Hill now.
Try to go to Ames Meyer in Kingsley. Chopper 5. Ames,
hang on, he's going to talk
here.
To the.
Where exactly is this unfolding right now?
I don't know.
Hi. sorry, here. Hi, Brian. Right now he's going north. I'm sorry, westbound 635, and this is a Dodge Charger, which is a performance car. So he's going to be a lot faster than these vehicles. But we are up following, and so is.
Hey, Alfie, see if they're carrying this on their website. Then you can at least put it on our video feed.
You got it. This driver get off 635
LBJ. Oh, why you would steal a white car? I don't know why you'd buy a white car.
Back on the highway, headed westbound. This is a
this
very,
has got no personality.
Very congested stretch.
Well, he's got the black pinstriping stuff on it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Blowing by all the other vehicles on the highway.
From what I can tell, that's a newer one by the taillights.
In and out of traffic here.
Okay, and again, we are watching a chase, a police chase.
Where are the state troopers when you want somebody to get shot?
In pursuit of this car, which has
Waiting for him to get on the tollway, probably.
Okay.
It's on Channel 8's website, Alfie.
Going onto the shoulder... Going at a
he just passed another cop. It's like the cop
the
didn't even know he was there.
Which is pretty fast. And we understand this is a Dodge Challenger, We're still trying to figure out exactly why police are chasing this vehicle, but at this point, this driver will not pull over, has put other drivers
that's why it's called a chase.
Dangerous situations.
According to Channel 8's website, it's a robbery suspect.
No. LBJ right now in Dallas.
Very high rate of speed.
Just passed another
here,
cop.
You can see this person almost lose control.
He's not really that good of a driver.
Speed down 635 LBJ westbound.
Okay, then he just cut off a couple lanes, made an exit.
We're going to wait to hear from Ames. Okay, this is Forest Lane. The traffic is slowed down.
Oh, he's stopped now. He's at a red light in a left turn only lane.
How to get around all of this? And
there
are
car coming up behind
me.
Yeah, that's a newer Challenger.
Right there.
There's a Dallas, Dallas squad right behind him.
A whole lot right now.
He's trying to decide if he wants to get out with all the people.
Yeah, the cops.
Traffic moving again.
I love.
And we see these other drivers trying to get out of the way of this.
Southbound on
if that Dallas officer is listening, I would like for you to do the pit maneuver, please.
Off the highway onto a major thoroughfare. This
there's five grand in it for you.
Very, very busy street, especially at this hour of the afternoon as we start to head into that.
The guy that's running realized, I'm getting awfully close to Garland, and then turned around.
Police officer right there behind him in pursuit.
I'm surprised Channel 4.
What we're hearing is that this may have started with some type of
which
a robbery
TV
call.
In here is Channel 4?
It's not exactly
your
clear
upper right
yet.
TV 2.
Possibly why police are chasing this car.
So Channel 8 knows it's
pull over. This person may be a suspect.
Channel 8 has it live right now too.
Violent crime.
I don't think we picked Channel 8 up in here for whatever reason.
The driver has already been on two different directions of LBJ.
Yeah, normally Fox 4 is the one that's all over police chases.
Yeah.
Rapid clip. Passing a lot of the cars there on the road.
And they lost their feet again.
Southbound on Abrams, by the way. And once again, our chopper shot coming in and out here, so bear with
if
us.
If the guy in the white car is a listener, I would like for you to drive by the tollway.
That white
at, what exit are we? Alpha?
Alpha, Spring Valley.
Speed,
yeah.
High rate of speed southbound on Abrams right now.
And again, we are watching a possible
he is
robbery
moving.
Suspect.
Yeah, it looks like.
Police have been chasing this car for a few
waiting for him to pass the car.
The other followed them. This person or this driver.
The other cars are going around 40. I bet he's doing
LBJ,
at least 80.
Forest, and now onto Abrams. Again, very rapid.
He needs to flip on that traction control.
Because
it looks like he's almost lost it a couple of times. Far left lane. He's slowing down because of
general direction.
Looks like he
of Lakewood,
ran a light.
Lake Highlands. That's the part of Dallas we're talking about here. North Dallas.
Wonder what the cops are waiting on.
Southbound.
See,
Abrams.
It's Dallas, so their chase policy is screwy.
Well, I think they can chase if it's
federal.
Felon. He ran into the back of an SUV at intersection.
Oh, yeah.
Car door is open.
Oh, they're getting after him. Oh, my God.
The people in one of the vans he hit, they jumped out.
The driver who was just hit.
They're going to kick
and
his ass.
Another person in the other car got out, and they hit.
Yeah, they have no idea who it is.
They're hanging on to him.
The fleeing driver, they're holding on to him.
Oh, this is awesome!
Let's watch what happens.
That's a chick! That chick and her boyfriend are getting his
ass. They jumped out of the van, grabbed the guy out of the Dodger, and they're holding him down.
All right, here comes the squad car.
I bet the Dallas cop lets him wail on him for a second.
He doesn't know who's who.
Oh, somebody just took a swing.
And they threw him on the ground.
Yep, and police officers now on the scene. They appear.
This is the best chase ever.
In custody.
Because normally nobody gets their ass beat.
My goodness.
Thankfully, it appears from this view that no one.
Those people in that silver van, he ran into the back of an SUV and it slammed into the silver van. And people got out of the silver van and immediately went over to the Challenger and pulled him out.
Yeah, and actually, I'm watching on the replay on Channel 8's website, they had a different angle. The man and the woman who were in the minivan that got caught, they're holding him, waving down the officer, and then the man just chucks the guy to the street.
Please be one of our listeners.
Very angry. They grabbed this guy. They were not going to let this guy get away. They, at one point, threw him to the ground before officers arrived here on the scene. But as you can see, Dallas police officers have this person.
I'm trying to get a better view of the Challenger, see how it did in that crash test, since I'm thinking about buying a new one.
The guy got out. He lived.
I did, but the front end, that's creased all the way up to the windshield.
Right at the intersection of Abrams.
I wasn't paying attention. I don't know how fast he was going.
Exactly what we saw as police put this suspect into their squad car there. We watched police chase
that's
that
street
white
justice.
Dog
get your ass beat before the cops get there.
Greenville Avenue onto
the
LBJ.
And the cops are having to tell the guy to back up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the chick, she's still screaming at the guy.
Slammed into a backup
The guy standing from the
I got money. That woman had a baby in the back of that minivan.
That, yeah, because she keeps pointing at something.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps pointing back at the van.
I think she was the driver.
And the guy, one of the other guys from the silver van, is trash talking that guy. He stands in front of the squad car.
I know what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky the cops got here.
And then they both kept that person from doing anything else and actually got them to the ground there in the intersection before.
Yeah, he didn't have an effing chance as soon as they got him out of that car.
Mm-mm.
I've never seen anybody react like that. Normally, you want to get out, check everybody. If you got a kid in the car, you check on that. I don't even know where the SUV went that he hit.
I think it was just that minivan right there that he hit.
I think he hit it like a dark-colored SUV that was in the center lane.
Oh, okay.
Silver van was in the left lane, and all of them were kind of together. Them is good.
That is a pretty amazing scene to see. But again, it appears that everybody is not, no one is seriously injured. Everybody seems to be okay. We did see the passenger and the driver.
Well, we know the people in the silver van are fine.
Yeah. But I can't wait to see them on the news soon. Because you know they're going to have a lot to say.
Oh.
They better get a news crew on them now with their adrenaline still going.
So what happened was I knocked up. I ran back in my car and we got out and my wife said, let's kill them. I went, all right. Because when mama say knock them out, I knock them out.
That's right.
I apologize to him when I slammed him to the ground.
Channel 5 is replaying it.
Oh, we're
where she pulls him out of the car.
Wow.
I think at this point, that suspect's probably screaming for help.
Lord, help me.
Guy on line 2 says he's sitting at the intersection right now.
Okay. Hey, John.
Yeah, what's up?
What's going on?
What
car are you in? What color car are you in?
I am in a white truck. I'm in my work vehicle.
I don't see a pickup truck?
Yeah, it has the ladders on top.
I see it on Channel 8's website.
I'm in the first section. First lane, left-hand lane.
Flash your headlights.
Yeah. See it?
Do you see it?
No, Channel 8's chopper is directly over the top
that'll
of him.
That'll piss his cops off, you know? But I flash the lights at him, you know?
I don't see him. I see, but how much of this did you get to see from street?
I pulled right up right as it happened, right as the van, that actually hit the back of that van. So, I mean, it's crazy.
He's positioned.
And there's debris everywhere. I don't know how fast he was going, but he was going pretty fast.
What is it, Dan?
He's positioned to directly across from where that from where it happened.
Directly in front of me. I can see him right, you know, it's right to the left lane.
Have they, Channel 5 cut away from it, are they still trying to keep the people from the silver van, they trying to keep them under control?
Looks like it. So they made me turn, so I'm turning right. I have to get away from the intersection over here now. But there was something going on when I pulled up. I said when they hit, then they were just struggling and stuff like that in the intersection. But it was pretty crazy. I've never seen anything like that before.
Okay. All right. Thank you, boss.
You have a good day now.
Hang on. Do you want to say something now?
No. All right. He's cool.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it looks like the woman who was driving the van. She is hugging what looks to be I'm assuming it's her child who had also gotten out of the van. Can't tell how old the kid is, but he's almost as tall as she is, so I'm going to go like maybe 11, 12, 13.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what she was pointing at back at the vehicle. But also there's like a stuffed animal kind of thing from the rear view in that van, so maybe there's even a smaller child still.
Okay. Let's see. Let me figure out how to fix this. We skipped traffic, but we got sponsors. We almost eat up a whole segment. Screw it. You ready to go, Alfie?
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's find traffic. What?
It's just nice to think they're going to go viral.
Yeah.
This guy's not going to be able to hold his head up at all when he gets to jail.
All right. 3:49, check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by State Farm. Not a whole lot going on besides that severe ass cooking we just witnessed. Let's start off with some side street accidents in Dallas. Hillcrest right at Royal. Got the lights flashing red in all four directions. Traffic's kind of jacked up in that area. And in Fort Worth, northbound Loop 820 right at White Settlement. Got an accident there. Traffic is slow through the area. Never miss a moment of the show by subscribing to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives today at russmartin.fm. Proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, Eagle Weather brought to you by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Tonight, clear skies, 39 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny, 57 for the high. Right now, 69 at 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Nobody knows where the whiskey bottle is.
I know you took it with you last night.
Damn it.
You leave it at home?
I must have.
Uh-oh.
Are we out of everything?
No, we got some at the desk.
Throw down?
Yeah. Go ahead.
We always got backups.
I get excited after police chases. And again, I don't know why the listeners get into it, because they can't see it. We're trying to do play-by-play. And you're... I wish they would let whoever in the helicopter, let them talk to the pilot. Because a lot of the pilots, they can actually fly and report.
Yeah, I think Channel 8 is usually pretty good about that. Is it Ben Lurie?
Is he still around?
I don't know. It's a name that jumped in my head. I'm not sure if he's still doing it. But
Ben Lurie used to do traffic in the KVI helicopter.
Right.
And then over to K-Love.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So maybe either way, but I think Channel 8 usually lets their guy do, you know, actual reporting.
It's a lot better than because the anchors are speculating just like we are.
Right.
Well, we're not really sure. Well, maybe you should flip over to Channel 8 and get the story and then come back and say it on your Channel 5 cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really one of those things. I wish that there was some sort of... In L.A., they may have it because they have so many police chases, but a chase app where you could see it, where it's headed, where it's going. Because depending on the shot on TV, it's impossible to know which direction it's headed unless they are constantly telling you. Like us, we just picked it up midway, and you're like, okay, it's on LBJ.
I don't know if it would create a problem for the police departments or not, but all we need in here is a scanner.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could hear exactly what's going on.
And
if cops are listening, we could talk back and forth.
Okay, that I think might be a little dangerous.
How? They're talking on the two-way during a chase anyway.
I know, but I don't think they need us distracting them, saying, okay.
We're not distracting. We're helping them. We're watching from the helicopter. They're on the ground. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but it's sort of like watching a game and having a radio into the coach and be like, hey, coach, run this play, i.e. pit maneuver now.
Well, I threw some cash in.
Making subliminal suggestions.
But there's always the possibility that the guy running is a listener as well.
Mm-hmm.
That would give him an unfair advantage.
Well, and that's the reason I brought it up, is what advantage could he really get? He knows that they're going to try and block him, but I don't know.
Yeah, he knows the police will try to stop him. Or her.
I'm sure Captain Howard, we could ask him, he would tell us if it would create an issue.
It might be a distraction, though.
Well, if the cops aren't listening, it's not going to be a distraction for them.
Okay.
Plus,
well,
we get inside information instead of speculating.
We would also.
We still don't know why they're chasing him. Well, chasing him right now because he's running.
Mm-hmm.
The intent is really unimportant at this juncture. I don't like it when we have listeners that are close to the scene, like one of the last chases we were talking about. I don't know. I think it was here. We might have been doing mornings. I don't remember. I know he heard us doing the play-by-play, and he actually got in the way of the guy that was running from the cops and forced him off the road.
Yeah.
That was in mornings in Denton, right off North Texas Drive.
So I heard him coming up behind. I did as you commanded. First of all, I didn't really tell you to get involved.
No, you did not. It is important, that, and legal has said it's important for us to say that.
Now, if I command the police to do a pit maneuver, that's a suggestion.
And it's for entertainment purposes. You don't truly expect it, even though you expect it.
Okay. Let's see. Do a break here, then we're caught up, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
Five oh two. This is really. 402. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Cole is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Kroger. Let's get started off in Fort Worth. Northbound Loop 820 right at White Settlement Road. Got an accident there. That has traffic kind of slow in the area. A couple side street incidents for you in Dallas. Hillcrest right at Royal Lane. The lights there are flashing red in all four directions. Traffic there is kind of jacked up in the area. And finally in Dallas, Abrams on at Walnut Hill. Got a police chase that ended right there. That has traffic jacked up in the area. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather from the Staples Weather Center. Eagle weather brought to you by Jared, the Gallery of Jewelry. Tonight, clear and 39. Tomorrow, sunny and 57.
They doubled up on the sponsors for weather?
Seems that way. Right now, 69 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
Didn't Staples just buy Office Depot or vice versa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I know.
Me too.
Who was a sponsor?
Which one?
I forget.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Channel 5 is playing a replay of the car chase. That is just the worst situation to put the cops in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do a pit maneuver. There's nothing you can really do but just chase him until, like this one, until they hit somebody or maybe run out of gas. Let's see what they're saying.
LBJ, this is on the westbound side, and he continues to drive. Police are not that far behind, but they at this point have not been able to get out in front of him. And there you see him dangerously swerving around other vehicles, and he's driving in the shoulder to get by. Again, this happened about 20 or 30 minutes ago, and this was towards the beginning of the chase. There he drives right by a state trooper. And this
it's like the trooper wasn't paying attention.
You know, at some point, we do see
because the trooper, he got off. The trooper wasn't chasing. He came up on the trooper and went, yeah, I'll get off here.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
He got off LBJ and then kind of drove around a little bit and got back on. Right now, this is right.
I want to see the replay of that. Crash.
It might end here.
This is where he's stuck at a stoplight in the left turn only lane.
The car to his right looks like an unmarked police car.
His door here in an attempt to do something, but then
sorta.
The light turns green.
But what are they going
to
do?
The traffic starts to move again, and this Challenger continues on driving. At this point, I think they were on Abrams Road right about, and then we saw him drive for a few more minutes before he finally got to that point where.
Right there,
here.
This
you
shot.
See the car driving very quickly.
I bet he's
this
doing
Challenger once again. Police in pursuit, 90. Right behind. Very high rate of speed. This is Abrams and Walnut Hill, and right here.
See?
Is where the
see the SUV?
Yeah, he tried to go
the back
in between
of that van. Another
those two
car
cars.
Also hit that goes and through the intersection.
That's where the people
there's
hop out of
that van, jumps out a woman.
Here comes mama.
And pushes that suspect, does not let him leave the car. The passenger of the van grabs him then, and the two of them together.
And the driver of the Challenger
hold on to that
is
suspect.
A big guy.
Yeah.
And then it looks like, look at that, it looks like a child there in the median. He's hurt in the crash. He's there in the median. But then
he gets up again just a minute or two later. But again, this.
Yeah, mama always told me to lay down in the street if we ever got rear-ended.
This suspect, they hold on to him and right there, they throw him on the ground and police come and put handcuffs on that suspect again.
And one of the passengers in the van that was hit, he pushes the perp. And then backs up and gets a running start and comes at him again.
That's impressive.
It is. It's like, all right, man, I can't hit him enough unless I got maybe some 10 feet running room.
Yeah, so then the woman goes back, hugs her kid, sees that he's okay, and then she goes back to yell at the perp some more. Because now she's really mad.
Man, what if there's, if there's any dash cam audio? Oh, man.
Dash cam audio? From who?
From whenever the police car pulled up.
Oh. Possibly. But that already, his ass whooping had commenced for a few seconds. But yeah, you know, one of the news teams is going to talk to the drivers of that van. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking when you got out of the van? Oh. Death? Somebody in that car is going to die.
Just love that. That woman just, man, that's a mama.
Yeah.
Don't you hurt my baby.
There was no hesitation. She immediately got out of that van and just went, now I'm switching on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have no idea if the guy driving the Challenger was armed or not. It didn't look like he was, but the fact that.
Oh, he didn't have time to get to a gun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even if he had one, didn't have a chance to even pull it. And he was probably too scared. He saw that woman coming at him and thought, I don't think a gun would be enough.
And she went at him because she was wearing all black. I thought possibly she's an off-duty officer. She wasn't. It was the shot. And maybe he thought she was because she came at him with furious anger. She just about went Ezekiel on him.
I like how the guy, he starts to get out of the vehicle, and then she's coming at him, and then it's like he's in that no man's land. He's like, oh, man, can I run, or will she grab me? Do I get back in the car? And then she just grabbed him and said, you will not get back in that car.
And then the other guy that was in the silver van that got hit, he grabs a hold of the perp. Now that's slinging him around in the street. And you know the guy driving the Challenger goes, where are the cops?
Police, help!
Damn, Dallas is worse than any place else. The people on the street beat your ass when the cops get here.
Uh-huh.
They showed it again, and that black SUV that he hit that was in the center lane, I never saw it again, and man, that bitch is all over him. They just replayed the crash again. And then a guy from the, watch him, they'll show it again. Watch the guy was in the van, pushes him, backs up, comes at him again.
Yeah.
He was doing rope-a-dope.
Have a running start.
Mm-hmm.
Help me.
The thing I still can't figure out is what the hell happened to the kid. Because we have the...
I don't know. There's a live report. Hold on.
To be speaking about this event momentarily, they will be arriving here rather to talk about this incident.
Who's that?
But as you can see, still a very much active scene, and we believe that man that you see standing there by the van was in the van at the time
of
that crash and then that altercation that led to the arrest of the suspect. Christy, Bianca?
All right, Ray, we will let you gather some more info.
All right. I'll keep an eye on it. Because the perp... And one of the guys in the van that got hit, they were black. You know what word was getting slung around.
No.
Yes. I'm going to turn the mics off. It's like, hey, man!
All right,
it was that type of delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Big and deep and a lot of N. What, you want me to bring it back up? I see he's still looking at Channel 5.
No, they showed a different shot, and I'm trying to see what happened to the kid. It's like he comes out of the van.
I see him lying in the I noticed that when it happened live.
Yeah.
He was in the median. I think he just got out of the van. He was probably scared.
I assume, but it looked like he may have tripped on the curb or the median or something. Maybe, I don't know. He looked like he was rolling around like he got hurt, but maybe it's
and
like
if you notice, the Dallas police, they parked a little ways back when they came up on the situation. It's like, let's not run too fast. Looks like the Citizens Patrol has it handled.
let's let them enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Maybe walk over there and go, hey, brother, want to use my ASP?
Yeah. That's where you kneel down to the suspect and be like, would you like my help?
Yeah. You was running from us earlier. Are you happy to see me? I tell you what, we're going to go get back in our cars and we'll just let you go. They brought a stretcher for somebody.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess too much excitement for someone in the back.
Well, I think that the stretcher was for the person that was in the dark SUV that was in the center lane.
That would make sense.
Okay. Waste enough time on that.
That's not a waste. It's a good day when you start the show with a chase.
Damn. I'm glad I just happened to look up.
I still think...
I had people ask before, why do you have all those TVs in the studio?
That's why.
That's the only reason.
Breaking news / police chase.
Mostly the police chases.
Yep.
We need to fix it where we get to Channel 8 in here. That way we can get different views.
Well, the weird thing is Channel 8 works in your office, in that studio behind you.
That's because it's got the satellite receiver.
Gotcha.
Cable or whatever.
All right.
You know, there's just different stations, even though they're all broadcasting the same wattage towers. All the TV towers are in the same place, all at Cedar Hill, just like all the major radio stations, FM stations. So I don't know why. Even at home, there's certain channels I can't get. Mm. Then again, Frisco is, I don't know, 40 miles, whatever, from Cedar Hill.
Yeah, probably.
But I don't care. Let's see. You got audio? You want? Oh, I noticed on hold at the beginning of the police chase, Alfie, was the guy that was on hold, that the guy that was banging his wife while Merle was in his head?
Yeah, that's what he says.
What did he have to say? Because he didn't hang on.
He was just saying that his wife got really upset because the thinking of Merle got him giggling at a certain point while he's in the middle of it.
What are you giggling about, Merle? Oh, I look like Merle Haggard? No. Well, part of you does. And this is... Why? Why? I mean, you should be worked up about sex and banging your woman good.
Mm.
And then you start thinking about us. Man, you're queer. Ain't nothing wrong with it, brother. What was his name?
Said his name was Matt.
Yeah. Sorry, Matthew. Sorry. So close to Valentine's Day to tell you.
That doesn't mean he's gay. He's just maybe just kind of gay for you and Alfie.
And Merle and Chloe.
Yeah. Somehow I dodged that bullet.
Yeah, you've kind of stayed away from this whole country thing completely.
Well, what about I wouldn't say I've stayed completely away from it.
That's right. Oh, even better. Maybe we'll get an email tomorrow. Now all I can think about is Luke Bryan and Garth Brooks.
That's the best kind of golf.
Okay. You got audio you want to get to?
Yes. Actually, I have quite a bit. I'm trying to figure out which to play for you first. Would you want interesting things from The Bachelor that happened on Monday night?
Sure. I like The Bachelor. Chicks start crying yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good crying.
Isn't this the first episode?
No, there's already been a handful.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was just waiting to pull you into it until something really good happened.
Okay.
So on the most recent episode of The Bachelor, there's a woman from Austin. Her name is Kelsey. She is really deceptive, and no one likes her except for a little while, Chris, The Bachelor, does. So cut 10. This gives you a little bit of her deception. She had a panic attack in last week's episode.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, honey? What's your name? Can you tell me your name?
Kelsey.
Kelsey.
She's just lying on the floor, and there's like an EMS person holding her hand. And Chloe, you've had panic attacks. Does this sound like a panic attack?
I mean, it could be. You never know because there's different degrees of it.
She even later on herself said, I've never had a panic attack, so... It's like, well, then how do you know it was a panic attack?
I have no point of reference. To me, a panic attack would be a situation where you're about to do something you dread.
Well, it kind of feels like, well, not that you have this either, but heart attack. It feels like you're having a heart attack.
Can you have one without any type of...
stimulus? Stress?
Yeah, without, for no reason. Can you have one for no reason?
Yes, you can. It's the weirdest thing ever. Starts coming, you start to get more anxious, extremely anxious, and you're like, why am I getting anxious? I have no reason. It's Sunday. Why is this happening? And it comes out of the blue.
How long they last?
They could last for 20 minutes up to like 3 or 4 hours.
Wonder if that's what I was having a few weeks ago. When I was dizzy on the air, I thought I was going to blank out. I was kind of in a twilight.
There's a good possibility because what happens is your anxiety starts cascading upon itself. And your anxiousness makes you more anxious.
Well, I didn't really care. I just wanted to either have it stop or pass out. So I wasn't really anxious about anything. It's like, just do something. Stroke out or pass.
Yeah, that doesn't really sound like a
panic
attack.
Let me go back to the audio.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, honey? What's your name? Can you tell me your name?
Kelsey.
Kelsey, do you remember where you are? Are you in pain?
No, I'm just...
Okay.
No.
Why don't you be sure to tell her to calm down, because that always works.
Yeah.
Okay, Kelsey, I want you to keep talking.
I think all of the girls, we're all trying to figure out what part of her is real and what part of this is, like, manipulative.
Is this the one we can get here?
I can talk to Chris.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. I didn't know that you would bring up our conversation tonight. It just made me think, like, what did I say?
No, nothing. What you did today was good.
Thank you.
What?
They're still sitting on the floor where she supposedly had this panic attack. She's like, I need to see Chris.
Well, was she? She's saying now she was having it because
it was before
she didn't know that he was going to bring up part of the conversation.
It was right before a rose ceremony, so she was stressed and thinking that he walked off, so she got all weird.
Did she get a rose?
Yeah.
What? Dumb. Really?
Yeah. So then go to cut 11.
I wonder if she had it to get a rose.
That's what most of the women think, the other women.
Even though I'm guessing you've already told the producers, okay, here's who I'm choosing.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess you can't change your mind at the last second, regardless of what she does.
Well, no, you can. I mean, there are no rules, and he decides who goes and who stays.
Okay.
So the women thought she felt in trouble, so she stages this panic attack. And it is worth noting that in a house that is full of cameras, she passes out in a hallway where there isn't one.
Okay.
Cut 11 from Monday night's episode. The other women decide to call Kelsey out for being mean and fake.
What Chris is seeing right now is different than what we're seeing right now.
What is it that you're seeing right now?
Sometimes we see this person who's not very nice and has these sly comments that we all just shove under the rug because they hurt our feelings, but we let them slide.
I don't know that I'm saying these things. I'm embarrassed because I don't see. I have so much respect and admiration, and I genuinely like you guys. I get it. I am blessed with eloquence, and I'm articulate, and I use a lot of big words because I'm smart. I'm so sorry. It's clearly something that I just have never been aware of.
Why does she bring up that she's eloquent and smart?
That was a cutaway to her speaking to the producers in an interview thing. So to the women's faces, she's saying, I respect you guys so much. I'm so embarrassed. And then cut to producers talking to her. It's because I'm smart that they don't like me and they're all stupid. I think it goes back to her talking to them. I just don't understand.
Well, the rest of them were kind of snarky for ratting her out. Like, let him decide.
They're not ratting her out. They're talking to her about it. Now, at this point, no
one's in front of a camera.
Yeah, but he's not watching it.
Well, you don't know if they let him see it or not.
I assume they don't.
I would want to know everything if I'm going to pick one of these chicks.
I would as well.
And if you really want one of these marriages to work out, just one of them, then you let the guy in on everything. But it's still snarky for the chicks to rat her.
But they're not ratting her out. They're confronting her, saying, hey, we don't like you.
On television. We don't like you because what Chris is seeing isn't really what you are. You're hiding it. Well, that's what all of you do. What are you calling her on the carpet for that?
Because that's the whole thing. There's at least one person every season that is one way towards The Bachelor and a different way away from The Bachelor. And she's this one.
She's just the worst at covering it up. All of them cover it up.
Probably to a certain degree, but this woman really comes off like a condescending bitch.
Good. Maybe she'll stay on for a few weeks.
No, he kicked her off Monday night.
Oh, damn it.
But she was one of those. I'm going to give you the perfect comparison. She was like a female Dan Lewis.
Okay. You want to tell me why?
Because she acted smarter and better than all the other women and would try to pass off these comments that she didn't think they were smart enough to get and try to put them down. And then she would maniacally laugh about it, like, ah, it was like over the top. It was like some weird witch in a Disney movie.
Yeah, you're right, because around me, Dan Lewis would act like I was a radio genius. Man, that's a great bit. I want you dicking with me. Because no. And then, you know, when they tried to work Rich Barra into our show back at the Eagle back in the 90s, even after we had already recovered from Stern's ratings and we'd gone back to number one, they want to add in somebody else to the show. Dan is confiding in, Dan Lewis is confiding with Rich, and they're all, Rich is trying to get everybody on his side so he can kind of take over the show.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is Rich Barra didn't know he was dealing with a whole juggernaut. You can get as many people on your side as you want,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a whole juggernaut. You just a human being to me.
So then, so Kelsey goes on a 2-in-1 date with this other chick, and they both get sent home. So that when they get sent home, one of the producers comes and gets the girl's luggage, and the other girls are sitting by the luggage, and they see it, and they're excited when they realize Kelsey's not coming back. That's cut 12.
And I feel like you deserve someone who's 110% in, and I can't be that for you.
This is Kelsey that's getting kicked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it'll cut back to the hotel, and the woman comes to get her luggage.
Does she beg?
No, she goes the opposite, because she's too high and mighty. She's too proud. She can't, I mean, she has a couple of tears, but she basically, she takes her own version of the high ground.
Yeah.
It's okay if it's not me. Oh, my. Oh!
That's where the producers come in to get her luggage.
Yeah. And the... They are popping champagne bottles. They are high-fiving. You would think they just won the pennant. They're dousing each other. It was great.
Did he just kick her off, or did she die? Is she dead? Pour water on her. See if she melts.
It's one of the few times watching that show I was actually laughing, thinking, it's like, all right, that's pretty good. It's just the one girl. And it was the one girl from Arlington who's on the show. In the hotel room, who busts out the champagne bottle, pops, and is like, he starts pouring out champagne in the glass. He's like, yeah, we're going to celebrate.
Somebody dump a big bucket of Gatorade on my head.
I'm going to Disney World.
That's just, I mean, it's what you want to see. You want to see the dark side of everything behind the scenes.
Right.
But it's just irritating that these chicks and the guys, when it's a bachelorette, We've all got this mentality of, this really could be my soulmate.
Some truly believe that. I think others obviously are there just for the fame and whatever 15 minutes they can get, or to springboard some sort of TV career. But there are some of the people on the show that really feel like, this can work. It has worked for like 4 other people. This can work for me.
Officer Sergeant, Channel 4 is covering the story right now. The officer that was shot in Fort Worth. He's been released from the hospital.
The prayers, the good thoughts, the well-wishing, it's indescribable.
Now, Sergeant Drake's full recovery time is not exactly known, but they do expect that he will be able to return to the job. And tonight, he's finally home. Live in Fort Worth, Chris Van Horn, NBC5.
All right, Chris, thank you. A jackpot.
Okay. I know we're jumping all over the place, but I wanted to at least get caught up on that. Because I told Mayor Price, as if there's, well, you already know what I told her.
Is there anything the sergeant's family needs?
Yeah, there's no reason to cover it again. But also want to talk to him and just thank him, like that's going to do any good.
My one.
Oh, I'm glad you called and said thank you. My pain is gone. My wounds have magically healed. Thank you, radio guy.
Well, then ask him that. Be like, thank you for what you do, officer. Are you healed yet? Did it work?
Do you feel better? Okay, let's see. Is that all the bachelor clips?
Yeah. The girls are celebrating the
damn
the leaving of Kelsey, who, by the way, she's 28, from Austin, is a guidance counselor, which is frightening, and she is a widow. So she went on The Bachelor.
Before I get myself into trouble. Do we know Widow Howe?
Yes, she told the story on the show.
And what is it?
That he was walking to work one day and he collapsed and died.
Okay.
Congestive heart failure.
All right. So it's not like they were in the house together and she said, he just died.
No. As far as I know.
Okay.
That or it happened that way and then she dragged him out in the street.
Lame in the street and see if somebody hits him.
Mm. But no, she went on The Bachelor. I think it was like he had passed away a year and a half prior to her coming on the show. And it was a big deal for her to tell Chris that I'm a widow, blah, blah, blah. And then all the other women thought, well, of course she's telling him that because she thinks it's her time to go home. So she wants to make sure that she can manipulate a rose out of him.
I wonder if the producers vet these chicks. I wonder if they actually went back and found out, is she really a widow? She could have concocted that. Look what Brian Williams got away with.
That's a really good point. I know they go through an extensive interview process, but I don't know what sort of background check they have to go through.
My husband died and I was in a helicopter that was shut down.
Mr. Williams?
What?
You're married to a woman?
No, I'm being the chick.
Okay.
I'm a widow. I flew the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm. I still can't believe that I was one of the 300 Spartans that made it out of Thermopylae.
Okay. I didn't want to ruin it with a stupid punchline.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
4:39. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Subway. Finally, some stuff going on. Let's get started off with Fort Worth, northbound 35W, just before Northside Drive. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up back from the Fort Worth Mixmaster. Moving to Denton, northbound I-35E, just before State School Road. Got some road construction there being cleared out right now. Traffic's backed up back from Swisher Road, about a 20-minute delay through it. Into Carrollton now, northbound I-35, right at the bush. Got an accident there in the clearing stage. This traffic's jacked up back from Royal Lane. In Garland, southbound 635, right at Jupiter. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up back to Kingsley Road. And a side street accident for you in Dallas. Walnut Hill, right at Abrams. Got a pretty serious accident there due to the end of a police chase. Traffic there is backed up in the area. It's probably going to be there for a while police conduct their investigation. Never miss a moment of the show by subscribing to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives today at russmartin.fm. Proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the NBA doubleheader on ESPN. Tonight, skies will be clear, a low of 39. Tomorrow, sunny and a high in the mid-50s. Right now, 66. The 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Hi, I'm Navy Seaman Matthew Riggs from Roy City, Texas, and currently at sea aboard the aircraft carrier USS George Washington. We are forward deployed to Yokosuka, Japan, and ready to defend America at all times. I want to give a shout-out to all my family and friends back home and thank everyone for your support of the U.S. Navy.
What do you got on line one, Alfie?
He says one of his employees was on The Bachelorette.
Okay. Yes, Kyle.
Yes, sir. Big fan of the show. Glad to talk to you guys. I don't know if you're still talking about the Bachelor or Bachelorette deal. I know you guys went to commercial, but a guy
yeah, that really means anything.
Yeah, really.
A guy that was working for us made it to, like, the final four of the Bachelorette, and then whenever the Bachelorette went to do overnights, they shot the episode with him at our family's place because he worked for us. And he told me some of the crazy things that go on behind the scenes and how it's just basically, it's such a crock. You know, if they're shooting, you know, it shows everything, you know, they feed them and take care of them, whatever. But, you know, there's no wardrobe. They get a $20 per day per diem. If they want something, you know, the production crew really won't get it for them unless it's alcohol. So they just stay drunk like the whole time. And the day that they shot here, of course, the Bachelorette was going to meet his family, and they just got the family plowed. And then they told the family, they said, now, you know, you're getting ready to meet this girl. And if they go back to L.A., you know, this is your only chance to meet her. So, like, ask her any questions you want. Like, if you want to hold back, don't hold back. And so they shot the dinner scene in my family's house. And so we were outside with some of the production crew, and we were, of course, everybody was mic'd up, but we had the earplugs in, and we could hear everything going on. And then all of a sudden you hear people going to the bathroom, and then
Dan, do you even want to ask him which bachelor?
Yeah, I've got
who was, can we ask who the bachelorette was?
Yeah, doggone it, her name was Meredith. She had a really big head. I mean, it was big. I mean, I met her, and it just kind of floored me.
Right, but was her body hot enough to kind of balance it out, or was just she had this big head?
I thought she might tip over. I mean, it was just really oddly proportioned. I mean, she was kind of a pretty girl, but and my buddy really wasn't into her. And he lost, he didn't get the rose after they shot
at the house.
Episode.
No. Should have played some Slim Whitman, see if her head exploded.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the season Kyle's talking about is one of the ones that I haven't seen. There was a few years where I didn't watch any of the Bachelor, Bachelorette stuff.
I never watch it because I want to be surprised when you bring up the audio at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, what Kyle is saying, though, I know that there's some TV trickery and you can't, and there's so much that is going to be concocted.
There's a lot.
But producers lie to you, nonsense. Just one of the few times I dealt with syndicated producers was on the Jenny Jones show, and they lied about everything. They didn't put us in a bad situation. They just lied about transportation because we were doing mornings at the time at CBS, and they said, yeah, we'll do this. We'll get you on the first flight. As soon as we'll get you on the first segment, then we'll immediately get you to the airport and get you back. They had no plans on doing any of that. They were going to wait till everybody was done, put us all in the same limo. Luckily, we left ahead of time, gave the limo driver $50, and he goes, let's book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I get it.
But what I'm talking about, though, is like having the contestant use Kyle's family's house as opposed to, why didn't he use his own?
I don't know if they went and scouted the other locations and just didn't like it. I mean, granted, he worked for us, really great guy, and he's married now and has kids.
Well,
and,
did he have a big enough house to shoot an event?
I don't know, but they came up and scouted here.
Sort of.
And then they scouted the other locations and then asked, you know, if they could shoot the dinner scene.
I think it makes sense to shoot it in the, all right, it was the Bachelor's, his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that because they're going to be more comfortable. They're not going to be out of place.
Right. And in addition to that, because
so
a lot of times,
if they're going to say anything, it's going to be at home.
Yeah.
And after a while, you get used to the cameras, and you forget that you're mic'd.
Then you get drunk.
Yeah.
What were they giving them?
They had a rolling bar. I mean, they had everything.
That is something.
And they had the family, the brother, the sister-in-law, the father, and the mother. They had them kind of sequestered up at the house, and they fed them alcohol all day. And meanwhile, they're shooting kind of his day-to-day interaction. And then they have the meeting and the dinner scene up at the house. Well, by then, I mean, everybody was plowed. And then he said that was the way it was, like, back in the house, back in L.A.
Could you tell when the segment was shot, produced, edited, did the family come off as drunk?
No, they came off as kind of crazy. And his mom, it was very, very unfortunate because he's got a very dear family. And they edited about a four-hour meeting down to just a few minute deal.
I was going to say
they just portrayed his mom in a bad light, and then he took some flack over it, and he eventually went on Oprah, and because the country was a little stirred up about it, and so they kind of painted her in a bad light.
So he dropped dime. He went on Oprah and dropped dime on the producers of The Bachelorette.
No, he just stood up for his family.
Well, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, sir. It's just like shooting a movie. A movie, they could take 6 to 9 months to shoot, and the movie's only an hour and a half. That's what you do.
Yeah.
When we shot the TV show, we'd shoot, go out on location, shoot 5 hours for a package. It would end up being 3 minutes. It wasn't because we didn't shoot enough. That's just what – you always shoot more than you need. It's better to do that than the other way around and go, ugh,
we don't have enough.
This package's going to be 18 seconds. So that I get the 4 hours cut down to a few minutes. But, I mean, does it really change anything? They're not forcing them to drink.
No. And that's something that I've known for a long time. Is you can
have a cart.
Yeah. No, you probably do, because you can see it on the show. And almost every time someone's on camera, they've got either a drink in their hand or it's next to them.
But anytime I've seen it, it looks like it's always been wine glasses.
A lot of time it's wine glasses, but there have been a couple people that have gotten just absolutely obliterated on the show. And sometimes I like to see what the different contestants are drinking. Like, there was one chick, she's drinking straight bourbon.
How do you know it was bourbon? Is it out of the bottle?
There was one chick earlier this season, it might have been. Like, she was holding up a bottle and she was pouring.
I cannot shoot anymore because I had gone through all my past.
That I have not seen.
Can we open another box of Franzia?
I do know that the labels on everything are going to be taped up like most TV shows.
Well, yeah, if you're not giving somebody money, the TV's the network's not going to give you free airtime.
No, they're not. But I can still, even though you put black tape on it, I can still tell it's a Chevy. All you did
so
was
you can tell like if it's a Jack bottle or
yeah. But for the most part, their alcohol stays in glasses, so they don't have to worry about that as much.
And that's a fine line, because you don't want the family to get too drunk, because that's going to come back sooner or later. People would piece it together of
right.
Why are all the families drunk? Is ABC purposely picking alcoholic families, or are they getting them drunk?
Yeah.
So you can't really over-serve, but you want to serve enough to where they're relaxed, their guard is down.
But then there occasionally, you know, it has to have happened in the past where they get to a house and then it's like, oh, man, this house is full of sober people. None of them drink. Damn, it's going to be a long night.
Did anybody check to see if they were Mormons? Damn it. All right, see if they smoke weed.
Get them drunk on something. Give them some pills.
Sneak some alcohol into food. Let them sit at the dinner table. And have mama go, all right. Mama, you just asked if anybody wanted any more motherfucking gravy. I know it. Do you want some more motherfucking gravy or not? Because I realize there are going to be this many people in the house.
And Grandma gets mean when she's drunk.
I had put on extra colostomy bags so I could watch everything.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, look at that. I got more inside information than we had before. I never really would have thought about them getting everybody drunk. I would see having alcohol available, you know, when all the chicks are gathered around.
Mm-hmm.
The wine, just champagne, it just looks elegant.
Yeah.
I never thought about them going to the family's houses during the excursions. All right. Find out what they like. Hopefully it'll be a PBR house, so we won't have to spend that much.
Get a cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody asks for Dom, get a Dom bottle. And then have Dom DeLuise piss in it. Yeah, that Dom.
Mm-hmm, that's the good stuff.
I think the Dom, I had Peter DeLuise. It's one of the two.
Considering one of them's dead.
Well, that's right. I forgot Dom DeLuise died.
Yeah.
And
it makes sense because when they have the cocktail party before the rose ceremony. So that's how they get away with saying, or everyone's drinking. It's just like, well, it's a cocktail party. It's what you do. Everyone dresses up, and then they talk to the bachelor. And then occasionally a chick will get drunk and fall in the pool.
I just wish they would have the bachelor, bachelorette for older guys. I would love to see which one. I would probably want to. I don't know. That's a rough call.
What?
Would I want to be on the bachelor or the bachelorette?
Well, I mean,
Obviously, there's more of an advantage if you're the bachelor, and then you have all these women vying for you.
Yeah, I know, but they're all playing games, and I'm going to see through that. So that's going to be too easy. See, being around other guys in their mid-50s. First of all, more guys in their 50s, they're not going to look too good.
No.
I mean, at least I've held up to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the compliment.
I didn't want to pump you up too much.
But if you're on The Bachelorette and you're the bevy of, you're the group of guys, then you play the angle of, don't you give me no damn rose. I'll shove that up your ass. Try and hand me a rose, see what happens.
I still think, though, that
because I think some chicks, especially if they pick a younger one, mm-hmm. don't give me no 55-year-old bachelorette.
Well, you said you wanted a bachelor.
I'd have for older guys, all but right. still a younger chick.
Oh, okay.
Give me a rose. I'm going to vomit. I'd like for you to stay. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I got dysentery.
Damn, he pulled a Brian Williams.
I got to go back. I have different problems from when I crashed one of the space shuttles.
I just assume you would like being the bachelor because then you can tell all these different women no for various reasons, and you can tell them exactly the reason why you're sending them home. I'm sending you home because you got fat ankles. And I could see you saying that.
And also, the first time we met, you me off in the hot tub. Bitch, you ain't got no taste. Oh, nobody'll know. Then you got all this stuff set at the top of the hot tub. It looks like we're soaking. It drops soup. What do you want me to do about it? Slurp that up for the camera crew.
Oh my god. So
nasty. You want a rose or not?
Yeah. How bad you want a rose?
Someone told me that you wanted to use this show as a springboard into another TV show. Let's see how bad you want it.
Yeah, because if a producer sees you lapping up stuff and floating at the top of a hot tub,
God,
they know you're going to be good on the casting couch.
I realized a couple days ago, though.
I tell you what, I promise I'll give you a rose all the way to the end. If while we're sitting in this hot tub, you eat whatever comes up to the top.
See what I mean? You make the perfect bachelor.
But you got to put on this blindfold first. And then bob for it.
Oh, my God. That'd make for excellent TV. As nasty as that is.
She is.
Why can't she smell it?
Put a clothespin on her nose.
I've got a duty on the end of a fish hook, moving it around so she can't get at it.
God.
Which reminds me, we haven't played this spot. I got about a minute, don't I?
Yeah.
For the first time ever, Pretty Little Dan Inc. brings to the market the first truly affordable pleasuring device. We wanted to provide a product that anyone could afford. So without further ado, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the 1995 Doodoo Dando. That's right, you can ram your holes with Dan's steamy when you order a Doodoo Dando. Dan promptly heads into a special chamber to produce a one-of-a-kind Doodoo Pookie stick. When Dan is done, his stinky is shellacked, preserved, and then shipped straight to your loved one. Same-day shipping is guaranteed. Imagine the look on your partner's face when they receive their Doodoo Dando. Valentine's Day will never be the same. And coming soon, just in time for Mardi Gras, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the Voodoo Doodoo Dando. It's the Doodoo Dando with the flavor of New Orleans. We force-fed Dan a proprietary blend of jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo, a guitar, a full fruit jar, and a gayo to make this a one-of-a-kind festive dando. But order the Valentine's Day Doodoo Dando now before Dan gets the runs, because nobody wants gooey runny in their big ass. Another proud product of PLD Inc.
Yes.
We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
507. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the NBA doubleheader on ESPN. Let's get started off in Dallas, eastbound 30. Just before Mugger, cops pulling people over in the HOV lanes if they're not in there with, you know, they're jackasses. They have you slowed down back to Hampton Road.
In Garland, southbound 635, right at Jupiter, got a stalled vehicle there being cleared out right now. Traffic's jacked up back to Kingsley. In Plano, northbound 75, right at Legacy, got a stalled vehicle. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Alright,
in Plano, northbound 75. Legacy has stolen vehicle blocking the HOE.
Words, you ain't making them.
I'm sorry, vehicle. Oh, yeah, it's my fault.
Oh, we're coming back to me.
I'm not the one that's. Never mind.
Alright, be a.
Eagle weather. Brought to you by Kroger. Clear skies tonight, 39 for the low tomorrow.
What about the Staples Weather Center?
It's not every time.
Oh.
That's why it's...
confusing?
Yeah.
Okay. I have the same problem with traffic.
I feel you.
My plates, not my plates. It's Don Davis or Yeti or... Go ahead.
California raisins. Clear tonight, 39 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny, 57 for the high. Right now, we are looking at 66. And 97 won the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Actually, yeah, I did print out that email that the guy had sent about banging his wife.
Okay, you found it.
Yeah, I had it stuck in my folder. And again, just the subject line. Russ is a hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it jumped out at me.
So I'm banging my wife, stroking along, humming a tune in my head. Then it dawns on me, I'm humming Merle f***ing Haggard. I shake it off, try and focus on the task at hand. Now, in my mind, I'm Russ with Alfie laughing in the background. But I'm powering through. Doing my best, but all I can hear in my head now is, be high, and. Finally, I just said I drank too much and quit. This keeps going on. I'm driving up to Frisco. A certain fellow's going to get slick-legged on the hood of his Batmobile. Signed, your pal.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Thornton, is there anything attributed to that phenomenon of just something popping in your head that has nothing to do with the moment?
Yeah, the brain is just an insidiously evil thing. I mean, it will just throw up the weirdest stuff all the time. I mean,
is there a name for the phenomenon of a song being stuck in your head, you can't shake it all day?
Yeah, it's called an earworm.
Okay. Is there psychological reason?
Neurological more than psychological.
Okay. Yeah. Then explain that.
Oh, if I could, I would. It's just, it's one of those brain things.
Well, explain the neurological thing. It's not like it's brain surgery.
Hey.
To me, it's more or less brain surgery. I don't know a lot about neurobiology or neurology, but it just is a loop, you know, an electrical kind of impulse that gets...
Do you ever have that problem on one of your Zen weekends where you have your whatever your mantra is? Well, yeah. Is that what it's called?
Well, there are mantras. I'm a koan studier myself. I'm not.
What is koan?
Koans are sort of riddles.
So you repeat the same riddle over and over?
No,
I thought the whole idea was just kind of zone out, just repeat the same thing over and over.
When you're doing koan study, you just focus on your breath, and then maybe you recite the koan in your mind to memorize it. And then you go, and when you pass that koan, you take up the next one.
Some type of mental biofeedback?
Yeah.
You know, to where you can actually lower your blood pressure if you stop, if you think about it and calm down, if you're hooked up to equipment.
Okay. Yeah.
But an earworm will get right in the middle of all of that.
Does that ever come up on one of your Zen weekends with us?
Yeah.
Not where you have one with us, but when you're on one, mm-hmm. Do you think of us while you're whatever? What was one of your older mantras?
Moo.
That was just it?
Yeah.
No phrase, just a word.
Moo.
moo. Mm-hmm. Like that?
Yeah.
And you think about us?
Yeah.
Do you start giggling? Uh-huh. Doesn't that ruin the whole purpose of the weekend?
Yep.
Yet you don't seem that troubled by it.
Well, what can you do? I mean, all you can do is either go by the rules or not. And the rule is that once something pops up, you don't indulge in it. You let it go and you come back to moo.
How long does it normally take you to shake it?
I'm pretty good. I can shake it. I have a technique that's not Zen, one that I invented to shake earworms. And that is, you just get something else. Like if you get "take me out to the ball game" stuck in your head, you know, well, what's the opposite of that? I don't know, some Mozart or something. So I'll pull up some Mozart. Every time "take me out to the ball game" comes up, here comes the Mozart, and it knocks it out.
I've tried that. You know, I've had Merle stuck in my head when I'm looking at adult entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm going, all right, think of something else. Then you try and pick something else on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And somehow Merle ends up in there. So if I'm thinking of Tchaikovsky, all of a sudden Merle's in the background.
With a wig on or something.
Yeah. Some earworms are more relentless than others.
Okay.
By the way, you can extrapolate that technique. I mean, not just earworms, but visual memories or traumatic memories even. You can
Yeah, I don't like to go that far because if I really want to shake something, then I start thinking about pets I've had to put down.
Yeah.
And that'll clear it.
Well,
but that's I'd rather just have Merle stuck in my head.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with a traumatic memory to offset another traumatic memory, I don't think.
Because if I had to, let's say I was a television actor.
Yeah.
If I had to cry on cue, I could, because I've got not really any family members. I know that sounds harsh, that I think about and cry.
Mm-hmm.
But animals or widows of the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it now. I can think about that time with Joanne Jackson at one of the white trash parties, a widow of a Dallas police officer. I can think about that, and I can lose it. And I'm about to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd have no trouble with method acting as far as that goes.
Plus, I'm a good liar. I'm looking at Dr. Thornton's notes from last week. The notes from last Wednesday afternoon, or Thursday morning.
Very nice.
No, he actually put that in parentheses.
Oh, even better. Good job, Doc.
Thank you.
Was that the proper read?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Highlighted some of now familiar themes. You could think of them as the three G's. One, going very, very fast in your very muscular car. Two, guns. You don't always shoot off blanks in the studio, but when you do, you prefer just a hint of coconut. Were you in here when we were shooting the coconut?
Yeah.
Okay. I really thought the blank gun would pierce that coconut shell.
I thought it was going to, yeah.
Three, good loving skills, which you purport not to have.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious Freudian question would be, do numbers 1 and 2 somehow compensate for number 3? I doubt it. I agree with Dan that your claim is a ruse, because now there's a fourth G. Okay, so you claim that, or you think that I'm saying I'm a bad lover? That's a ruse.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree with Dan that your claim is a ruse, because now there's a fourth G. 4, great balls of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can channel Jerry Lee like you did and still claim to be on the piano and still claim to be lame with the ladies. See you next time, killer.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty. All right. What are you trying to say here?
Well, I think...
I mean, you made it as simple as possible, but...
Yeah.
Why would I lie about being bad in bed? I mean, eventually, I'd like to start dating on a regular basis again, but I'm not going to compensate. I'm not going to go, well, you know what? It's been a while. I'm kind of lonely. I'm not lonely. I enjoy being alone, but I also enjoy a really good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I lie about that? Because And that certainly, if I was reading an ad in the newspaper, hey, big sale this week on no orgasms. If I'm a chick, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
So why would I lie?
Well, I really think Dan has hit on it, that you're setting the bar really low. And then, you know, anything that you do that does...
So even if they fart, they consider it a bonus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look what you made me do.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Made me feel something I wasn't expecting.
It was a reverse queef. I mean, in the beginning of the relationship, I'm probably okay in bed. On a 1 to 10, I'm probably around a 5.5, maybe 6.
We're all probably working a little harder at the beginning, don't you think?
Actually, maybe even further than that. Because, you know, in the beginning, you'll lick everything. You don't care. It's all brand new.
Oh, my God. I love ankle.
Unless you get a chick with bacterial vaginosis, and then you really love ankle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, that's your fetish.
We were having oral, and now you're not licking it anymore. Mm-mm. I love lamp. I love carpet.
I like your car.
I'm going to lick this big red candle. I'm going to go outside and lick that dead chocolate squirrel. But after you get complacent after a while, it's like, you know, still enjoy sex and grabbing boobs and doing stuff.
Yeah.
But there are other parts of a relationship.
Right.
And since sex is a small part of it, I focus more on the daily activities of the bonding and pissing them off. Why do you always shake your head, Dan?
Because you're always saying these things where you, oh, I enjoy pissing them off. The sad thing is that part, I know you're being honest about. You love driving chicks crazy.
That's your foreplay, I think.
I think you guys are being nice.
I think chicks kind of like it, too.
Some might.
Well, it depends on how long you've gone through it and how invested they are in the relationship. Let's say we made exactly the same amount of money. We bought a house together, and we split the mortgage and everything right down the middle, so we're paying equal everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wouldn't have a right to come in and just take my clothes off and leave them at the door. That would be jacked up if everything was equal.
Right.
But since none of the relationships have been that way, I can get away with it. So I'm not being unfair. I'm being me. If you want to start paying for part of the mortgage and commingling funds, and at that point we're almost married, then let's take another step.
But would you be okay with relinquishing that power?
If she made as much as I did.
But you know the likelihood of that is extremely small, especially since you're typically attracted to women who are much younger than you and nowhere near your income bracket.
Well, but as I get older, I'm going to be attracted to slightly older women. Mm-hmm. Certainly not anywhere near my age because, again, that would make me regurgitate.
Guess it would. I know. I'm not going to fight you on that.
I'm going to guess most women would be off-put by that. Well, you're always nice to me and you bring me flowers, but there's just something about when I open the door and you go, I'm ready for dinner now.
That's why I wonder if you actually did find a woman, let's say she's 35 years old, you're attracted to her, and she makes almost pretty much what you make. I don't know if you'd be that interested in her.
I would.
The reason I say that is because I've never seen it. Now, granted,
you've never seen me in that situation or a chick in that scenario?
I haven't seen you. I haven't seen those two sync up.
For me?
Well, for you, yes. I know that there are women out there that exists.
And that doesn't mean I don't want to be a provider. I just don't want somebody to have that
power.
Occupy Martin mentality of, okay, I will just live with him and I will pay for nothing. And then I will be a utility sponge. And if it's something I can turn on if I can turn on, I will. Then I'll leave it on. With, you know, really no responsibility. And as I get older, first of all, I ain't never dating anybody my age. That would I'd rather hang myself. Unless it was some, I can't think of,
yeah,
how old is Jennifer Aniston?
46.
That's for any age. She looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
But most women in their late 40s. No offense, bitch. You might be a really good looking late 40 bitch.
But
the odds ain't with you.
Here come the pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at me. I'm 47. You couldn't handle me. You're absolutely right. I could not. Not without a bit and a saddle.
She wouldn't have to have your income. Okay, I'm back to reality. 35-year-old, okay. She wouldn't have to make as much money as you, but just enough to kind of pay her share of the bills and
not have,
her own car, you know. All that
yeah, stuff. Not have any bills, not really be dependent, because I'm also, my fault, this is me, they're in a situation, we're dating, and I know they're struggling with something. I want to help.
Yeah.
It's like with Mandy, and, you know, she was having problems making payments on her Toyota, so she let her mom take over the payments, and I let her drive the Corvette. Because I wasn't driving it that yeah. much. And for insurance...
You mean Mandy's Corvette, right?
that's what Mandy called it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just kind of kept it, even after the breakup.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the engagement ring. With this expectation. So, yeah, you're right. I want somebody that can sustain themselves. They don't have to live to my standards, because really my standards... aren't that high. I don't really invest in the stock market, so I just put it in the house, and I know one day I'm going to get the money back.
Yep.
I'm bad in bed. I can be courteous. I can be, what do you call it when a man's nice to a woman?
Nice.
You know that?
chivalrous.
Yeah. Chivalrous. Yeah. I still do that. Open doors.
Yeah.
Pay for dinner. Probably the least chivalrous thing I do is in bed. I'm first.
This is interesting, though, how you're happy to tip your hat to a woman, pull a chair out for dinner, open the door to go inside a building, but...
That O door.
It stops at the bedroom door. He'll open the bedroom door for you, but then he's going to run in.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about bailing on the taking my hat off when I meet a woman, because they don't get it, and they think it's some kind of weird satanic ritual.
Why is it
Was he
that?
Showing off that he's got hair?
It's weird. Why is he taking that off?
It's like when you go pee-pee at the restaurant, when you come back, I stand up. But they don't seem to understand that, so I'm thinking about just bailing on it, because you've got one generation, another generation, and if they don't get it.
I actually, for the most part, I've stopped a long time ago getting up when a woman comes back to the table, because... most everyone else stopped doing it. Most people didn't really understand why. And to be honest with you, I didn't understand why we started doing it in the first place. But no one seemed bothered by it. No one seemed appreciative of it when it happened. So I just felt there's no point in it.
Hey, what's the matter? You got a cramp in your leg? What's going on?
You jockeys wadded up in your a-hole?
Yeah. Did you just fart?
That must have been a big one if you had to stand up for it.
Yeah.
Most people just kind of lean over, hold their pinky out so they look classy. And one cheek it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But so like,
but the whole hat thing.
I'll do it at a nice restaurant though, where I feel
take
like
the hat off.
Not the hat, but like the chair thing.
It is my honor to meet you. I will remove my NASCAR hat here at Three Forks.
Uh-huh. It's my nice hat. It's the one with no spit juice.
But I will not take off the cap with the three and the angel wings on each side. That's not until we've dated for a long time. I don't know where we're going with this. No, I'm not lying about anything. I'm not that great in bed. I don't have a micro penis, but I don't have a woof. It's just...
You don't have the thing in Jeff Curley's video.
Yeah.
Very few have that.
It's just kind of just enough for the sitting.
I guess I have to believe you, but it just seems like you're probably better than you say.
Mm-hmm.
Which way would you rather I be?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm great. I tell fabulous jokes. I laugh at all the women's jokes. I'm I have a goatee with no mustache. I play oldies in the morning. I used to work with Ron Chapman. Which way would you rather I go? Because if I went with the way I just described, that wouldn't be me, and I wouldn't be able to hold up to that facade.
No, I wouldn't want to do that to you.
You be how you want, because yeah, we're just, not the ones that are going to be subjected to however you are in bed.
I ever met a chick that puts up with everything with me? The next one I meet that does all of that, that's attractive to me, and I don't have to make any compromises of, well, yeah, you know, or ass. Kind of looks like it belongs on Alfie.
Damn.
Damn. Hey. You're a tall guy. Nothing wrong with your ass. I haven't seen it.
All right.
I don't want to be in it.
Okay, good.
And he doesn't want it on a chick. Because if he sees it, he's like, well, yeah. She's got an Alfie ass.
And that's going to ruin that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to shake the Alfie ass and go back to Merle. And that completes this segment.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:38, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is at KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the NBA doubleheader on ESPN. A lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. It's about I-30 just before Grand Avenue. Got the cops pulling people over due to HOV violations. That has traffic jacked up. Let's see, all the way back to Hampton Road.
Where is this?
This is eastbound 30 at Grand, or just before Grand.
Okay, so who is that does it? Is it DART?
Yeah, exactly. That's DART's whole enforcement area up and down 30.
Okay.
The idiots are driving into that. They deserve to be pulled over.
I wonder if I could drive from the right side of the car.
These morons have traffic backed up. Eastbound back from Hampton Road. Westbound idiots are staring at it because they've never seen somebody pulled over before. They have you backed up back from St. Francis. And 35 is backed up because of this back from Medical District. All in all, it's a half hour delay through it. In Plano, northbound 75, right at Plano Parkway, got an accident blocking the HOV lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from the High 5. And Grapevine, westbound 114, just before the 114-121 Western split, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's jacked up past the Eastern split onto 121 back from Bethel. Final in Fort Worth, eastbound 121 at Riverside Drive, got some debris on the roadway, blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's backed up back from 35W. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, Eagle Weather brought to you by Subway. Tonight, clear skies, 39 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 57. Right now, 66. The 97.1, the Eagle.
Still in the top 10.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Wonder what it costs CBS for this Blue Bloods theme. We're going to need 20-second intro.
I'm going to guess that had to be off of like a production CD or something, because it doesn't sound like it was meant for that show, like other songs sound.
Oh, well, it's kind of... I don't know. You've never watched an episode of Blue Bloods?
No.
I'm just surprised I like a show that's in the top 10. Every week I'll look. Very seldom does it drop out of the top 10. This past week it was number 8.
Yeah. And actually, you were ahead of the curve because you started watching it when it really was... I think it's still somewhat buried on Friday nights, but people are watching it. And it just sort of picked up steam. It was one of those shows that, you know, it didn't have a whole lot of anticipation. It wasn't a big rollout. It was just, okay, here's a cop show with Tom Selleck, and it's going to be on Friday nights. Not a lot of people are going to watch it, but it's there.
Yeah, your main character, Tom Selleck, who really isn't the lead... Donnie Wahlberg.
There you go.
Technically is listed as the star, because
mm-hmm.
he shows first in the credits, and then they at the end of the opening it says and Tom Selleck,
yeah,
in his full police dress blues.
Gotcha.
It's like I said before. It's a lot of the writing's predictable. There's a lot of old style family values, which I'm not really big into. You know, it's like, oh, every Sunday the family has to get together and eat. I would blow my f***ing head off if I had to get together every Sunday and eat with my family. Even if somebody said, all right, that's the only way you get to eat is if you eat with your family. Well, then I guess I just fast on f***ing Sunday. But they had that. But also, I've, obviously, the characters have slightly changed. Tom Selleck's hasn't. Mm. He plays a commissioner, and I've never really understood that. How do you have a chief and a commissioner? Because we don't have that in Dallas or Fort Worth.
No idea.
But you, you see the struggles that he has to go through as commissioner of legal, illegal, right, wrong, moral, immoral, and the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. So it's a lot to soak in, and that's pretty deep for me, Jack.
Yeah, it's a whole hour show.
I can understand more than 30 minutes. Russ watched an hour show last week.
Wow. Sorry, that was
terrible. Wow, he must be going through some type of rehab.
But I am happy for you that you were actually ahead of the curve on a TV show.
Yeah, because normally I don't pick up on anything until it's been on for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look at this. Series on Fox called Good Guys, shot in Dallas. Canceled after a year.
Whoops.
But at least I found it. I got to watch the 24 episodes.
You did. And now it's a bumper, the theme music. So it lives on.
But I really didn't think Blue Bloods would catch on. Only because it's got, I don't want to say antiquated family values and morals, but it doesn't really seem to be contemporary.
It may not be, but it still shows that there is, you know, there are those that want that. It may not, you know, it may not be the slick sexiness of, you know, the new Hawaii 5-0, but.
Yeah, I don't even think Hawaii 5-0 is in the top 10.
I think it's dropped out.
So, I don't know. You want to make any comments, Doc?
About your sudden kind of renaissance, being able to watch a whole hour of a top.
It's not a sudden renaissance. It's not like I've had one of those catheter moments of, hey, I'm going to watch an hour show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it's just you really like cops.
It's a police show, yeah. And it shows, I don't want to say both sides. It's a good show. Watch it once. Leave me alone. And, you know, nobody from the show is going to come on for an interview because they're doing too well. It's only in the beginning or when the ratings slip. And they're going, oh, hell, we're about to get canceled. Oh, mm-hmm. Let's do interviews now. Because I know Alfie has called CBS before. Yeah, we're too busy. Okay. Day's going to come. You're going to want my help.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get desperate and you're going to need somebody on to promote whatever bad show, and sorry.
Remember, who is it? Uncle Barky.
Ed Bark.
Ed Bark. Long time ago, he wrote a review for Hill Street Blues,
mm-hmm.
and everybody wanted to do interviews with him. And then when the show caught on, nobody would talk to him. And that's when he was a TV critic for the Dallas Morning News.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was just amazing how it changed. We don't need your help, so we're not talking to you anymore. Okay. I understand how that goes with loyalty. Wait till the ratings dip, and then you want to talk to somebody.
Yep.
Then I'm going to go, Hill Street Blues, as far as I know, it was canceled.
Yeah. That's why I think it's important for, I would say anybody, but I like how we are completely self-contained. We don't need a guest. We don't need a caller. We rely on ourselves for all that. And it allows us the opportunity to, when they come knocking, we can say, F off. Where were you when we wanted to talk to so-and-so 2 years ago? You said, no, he don't have time. Well, guess what? Now I don't have time.
Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden, I'm Rob Schneider. I'm in town, but I'm too sleepy to come do your show. Well, you know what? Didn't really want you on that bad anyway. Because all you had was the gigolo thingy, whatever the hell it was called. And it was really Eddie Griffin that carried that. So go do your show, you little runt. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Then that was a year, 2 years, whatever it was ago that, you know, with the Schneider thing like that. And then
I think that was last year.
Or yeah, there you go. And then you know that I think he's, you know, he'll come back. And then they'll be like, hey, Rob would like to come on. No, sorry.
Well, why not? That afternoon guy just seems to hold a grudge. he's a real old juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was one, then I'm done. I'll think of his name in a second, but he's a kind of a comedian hypnotist.
Flip Orley.
Wow.
Flip Orley.
Mm-hmm.
It's back when I was doing mornings at the Eagle the first go-round. We would have studio audiences on Friday because we had the room. And he came in, going to promote his event. And I said, okay, we got some people. If you want to take them during one of the breaks and prep them and do stuff. Yeah, I don't do that. Okay, so we're not going to do any hypnosis stuff at all. No. All right, bye. And all this is on the air. And he goes, really? Yeah. I hate to say it, but really, come in and do something, dancing monkey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like anything. No, I just want to promote my show and just leave.
Oof.
No. You're going to do something. And I've never asked that out of a guest. It's just that was his attitude. And I get an email every time he's in town. Hey, the nationally known Flip Orley's in town. No. I'd rather watch Waylon and Madame. And only Chloe gets that. But that's all that's important.
Yeah, but just the names are funny.
Who else recently turned us down? Who was it, Alfie?
It was Tommy Davidson.
Yeah. Only wanted to do mornings. He didn't want to do afternoons.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, even though the improv was kind of pushing him.
Because the improv knows.
Yeah, to do afternoons. Nah, I only do mornings. That's where all the listeners are. All of a sudden, something changes. He wants to come on the show. Sorry, busy that day. We're going to audition another steel guitarist.
That's a sad thing because it's not the improv's fault. They know. It's the mentality of the celebrity type where, all the important people are only on in mornings. No, they're not because people listen all day. Because if they didn't, then the radio would stop at 10 a.m. But
that's a really good point. I never really thought about those terms.
Yeah.
But, if you're doing it depends. Talk, probably most of our listeners miss the first couple of hours. So now they can catch up the next day on the Mighty 1190 KFXR, which I'm still shocked that not all the listeners know that because we had a guy yesterday. I was listening to the fan in the morning. What'd you say to me? He didn't know that we were on in the morning at 1190.
Despite all those billboards.
Yeah, that's what's going to do it. Alfie, what's line one?
He's calling about his wife in Blue Bloods.
Yes, John.
Mm-hmm. Russ, my wife loves that damn show, Blue Bloods. And I swear, 3 weeks ago, she tells me, we got to start having family dinners every Sunday night. I love that idea, and that's what we do now. And I'm like, I see him all week long. Can't I just have Sunday to myself? It's crazy.
Yeah. I had to get up and go to church, and now I got to sit and eat with my damn family. Really?
I see him all week. They're there every night when I come home. And then I take a cattle prod to drive my daughter to go home and take her kids to the house so I have some quiet time. So I'm like, can I just have Sunday?
And she just thought, well, because of all the camaraderie on television, we're going to have the same thing.
I know. It's all the values and everybody sitting around a dinner table. And, I'm good with that, but we do it during the week. So just give me Sunday off. That's all I'm asking for.
Just one damn day.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, really. And I get that, especially like you said, if they do it during the week already. Then have one night on the weekend where you just order some pizza or a bunch of Chinese food. You leave it in the kitchen and let everyone just come and get it whenever they want it. And if you don't get any, too bad.
Get a job. I understand the concept on the show of, we don't really get to see each other all week because we're all doing different things in law enforcement, different parts of the family, detective, a patrol officer, one of them, the chick, works for the DA. So everybody's kind of vested. One's a nurse. So all they come together on Sunday, and it's kind of an expository scene of they explain everything that's happened to everybody.
Gotcha.
And that's probably the reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
In hedonic research, they call it the study of happiness.
Is that a derivative of hedonism?
Yeah. Very good.
Isn't it bad?
No, not necessarily.
No. Hedonism in itself isn't bad.
Well, I know the resort hedonism is where you go sit in hot tubs and other people's sperm.
That's bad.
Isn't it? I think you may want to qualify that. It may not necessarily be the case.
I think it's sperm.
Okay.
It takes us 11 months to fill it up. But we throw in chlorine. I'm sorry. And what was the word?
Hedonism or hedonic research, the study of happiness, what makes people happy. And having a family meal with multiple generations was one of the top, maybe the top factor in groups of people who are the happiest around the world.
Yeah, I don't, first of all, I don't have a situation where you have all the different generations.
Right.
Got my mom, my brother. That's about it. I feel fortunate every day to be able to come to work and spend at least 4 hours with my friends.
Yeah.
To me, that's Sunday dinner.
It's well said. Good life.
I'm a good man.
Well, good thing that didn't get awkward.
Yeah. I can always keep it from getting awkward, or I can change one awkward into another form.
That's right. Hey, you know what's awkward? Yeah, this. I know how to make it triple awkward.
Yeah. Hey, show me your piece.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Okay. We got a couple minutes?
Yes.
All right. Did we ever start news?
No.
Well, let's see what that sounds like. 5:53. Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Wednesday, February 11, 2015. This is going to sound familiar, so just bear with me. From Twilight, Taylor Lautner turns 23. From Game of Thrones and New Hunger Games movie, Natalie Dormer turns 33.
Why is this going to sound familiar?
Because we read these yesterday. From Give Me a Break, Matthew Lawrence is 35.
Did we get it wrong?
Sort of.
Okay.
There was a cross-up on birthdays yesterday.
Oh, from one of our prep services?
Yeah, we got Wednesday's birthdays on Tuesday.
Well, kind of works for 1190, doesn't it?
Yeah, it worked out great for the 1190 show this morning.
Okay, so I'm going to guess Leslie Nielsen's birthday is today.
It is, but he passed away back in 2010.
Okay.
Other birthdays, porn star Cherokee, she turns 39. She was in Charlie Mack and the Big Butt Chocolate Factory. Damian Lewis from Homeland and Band of Brothers, 44. Jennifer Aniston, now she's 46. Yesterday it was premature. PJ Sparks, porn star, 46, starred in Muffy the Vampire Lair. She's 46. Sarah Palin, 51. Sheryl Crow, 53. Jeb Bush, 62. Burt Reynolds, 79. His face is 6. Tina Louise is...
Although his face has stretched out a little bit. He doesn't look as... He started to look a little more normal in the Dukes of Hazzard movie, whatever year that was.
Yeah, it looks... I don't know exactly how old his new face is, but yeah, it's starting to settle a little bit. After he first got it, whew, man, it looked like, not so much it was surgery, it looked like someone was still holding the back, like holding his skin on the back of his head.
Turn loose. And I think it was after, it didn't seem like he really got into the surgery until after Evening Shade, mm-hmm. the series on, I think it was CBS.
I believe you're right. Yeah, it was after that.
Then he started just running amok with his face.
If it had skin, he wanted it stretched. Tina Louise, Ginger from Gilligan's Island. She turns 81.
She should have that stretched.
And Leslie Nielsen, today's his birthday. The Powerball jackpot has climbed from $485 million to an estimated $500 million, making Wednesday night's drawing the fifth largest prize in U.S. history. It's been more than 2 months since someone won a Powerball jackpot, so the prize has been gradually growing from its $40 million starting point. The last time Powerball grew nearly so large was a year ago, February 2014. Lotto officials are quick to point out that the game is for fun and a chance to dream. They note the chance of winning a Powerball jackpot, 1 in 175 million.
Yeah, oh, it's just for entertainment purposes. We're not really collecting money.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else, you would make them have a disclaimer if you have, like if Choctaw Bingo runs a spot or whatever. If you have an addiction problem, gambling addiction problem, call if one of the casinos.
Or a derivative of that phone number.
Right, but they make them run some type of disclaimer.
Yeah.
State does it. And then it's, hey, this is just playing around. You know, we're only charging, what does it cost for a ticket?
For Powerball, I think it's $2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, you know, if you've got to control, but they don't say anything about that in the spot. So gambling problem, call 1-800. I lost my house.
No, it's all happy. Jackpot, jackpot.
Well, dance around. And the odds of winning are what?
For the Powerball, 1 in 175 million. So, yes.
And you look at people, and I've said this I don't know how many times. Well, I got as good a chance as anybody. But it's the payoff. The payoff changes everybody's mentality. 1 in 175 million?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if I don't buy one, I can't win. And I got it. Everybody's got the same chance. Okay. Take 175 million people and put them in a field and went, I'm going to take one of you and shoot you in the head. What are my chances of getting shot? It's the end result that changes the mentality of how the odds work for you.
Right, right.
I'm going to beat one of you people to death with a ball peen hammer. Well, I care.
I know it ain't going to be me.
But, like the lottery says, if you don't play, you can't win.
And it's true.
Somebody got to win.
That's true. Somebody has to win. And even if you don't hit, see, with a jackpot like this, even if you, however many numbers you have to get to hit the ultimate jackpot, even if you just get one number off or two numbers off, you're still hitting a decent payday.
Oh, you still get something if you get a certain amount of numbers?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They're doing a story right now on Channel 5 or NBC about it.
It probably won't, but point is, it could. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Okay, good. Wrong story, wrong state. But my dad used to do that with scratch-offs all the time.
Yeah, the scratch-offs, I'd so rarely play the lottery anyway. On a night like tonight, right now I'm thinking, hey, on the way home, I should buy a ticket.
But when the lottery
I'm
goes,
gonna forget.
When the lottery goes up, the amount that's being paid out, your odds go way, your odds of winning go way down.
Exactly. What I should do is
wait when it's only, you know, like $40 million.
Yeah.
No, your odds are the same either way.
No.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Let him explain it.
All right.
How is it?
It's just the numbers. I mean, every single time they draw six numbers, there's 1 in 175 million chance that the numbers you've got are going to connect.
He's right.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, it's math.
No, it's okay. College boy. Not everybody got to go to, where'd you go?
UT Southwest Medical Center.
Yeah. Anything with a UT at the beginning of it. I had to go to EF.
Eastfield?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to UTA and RL.
I went to UTA.
Yeah. I went to Richland for two semesters.
What was a mascot for Richland?
Thunder Ducks. Yeah.
Well, it's not quite as menacing as the Eastfield Harvesters.
I know, but the ducks, these ducks are thunderous.
Yeah, but we're the Eastfield Harvesters.
Uh-huh.
With us, and we'll come out and we'll take all your grain. Of all the things to pick, all the good ones are picked. You can call it anything you want. I have to go to Eastfield Harvesters.
Well, it's not that. That's not like that's an isolated case. Louisville's the Fighting Farmers. Notice
Fighting Farmers. My money's still going to be on them in a cage match with somebody. Fighting Farmers or the Garland Owls. Now the Frisco Coons.
I believe they changed that mascot.
They didn't change it to.
Wow. I'm going to go see what's happening on another station.
I'm going to go stand outside.
Yeah.
Under the call letters of a different station. But really, for the month, we're late, aren't we?
Yes.
All right. Well, that was a punchline. I should have gone with it.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
608. That's right. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coy, my man. This is KEGO's Extra Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Traffic brought to you by Exxon and Mobil. Let's get started
That's
off.
Right.
Let's get started off in Dallas, eastbound I-30, just before Grand Avenue. Cops have stopped pulling people over in the HOV lane there. That doesn't mean you can still be a jackass and drive through it if you can't. That still has traffic jacked up back from Hampton Road. Everyone's going westbound, still staring at it like they're idiots. They have you backed up back to St. Francis. This same incident is causing a backup onto 35 back from Medical District. Still about a 15-minute delay through all that mess.
Right on, brother.
Thank you. Also in Dallas, Walnut Hill right at Abrams. Police are still out there doing an investigation from an earlier police chase that ended right there. Traffic is backed up in the area. And finally, in Plano, northbound 75 right at Plano Parkway. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic is backed up. Back from the high five.
Get it on.
Caller number 9 wants a pair of tickets to go see the Dallas Stars take on the Anaheim Ducks March 1st at the AAC for Military Appreciation Night, plus a pair of tickets to go see 3 Days Grace at the Bomb Factory before you can even buy them. Call now. It's 214 or 817-787-1971. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Goya. Clear skies tonight, 39 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny. 57 for the high. Right now, 66, but 97 won the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Hi, I'm Navy Seaman Matthew Riggs from Roy City, Texas, and currently at sea aboard the aircraft carrier USS George Washington. We are forward deployed to Yokosuka, Japan, and ready to defend America at all times. I want to give a shout-out to all my family and friends back home and thank everyone for your support of the U.S. Navy.
All right, go ahead, Daniel.
47 minutes.
Or do you want to talk about, what do you got?
News?
Well, I know. What's the story?
Brian Williams.
Yeah, let's go with that. We can always bag on Mark Davis later. Obviously, you had a problem with his op-ed or his editorial piece in the Dallas Morning News.
I just thought it was interesting, and I wonder how much of it he's read, because I'm...
Well,
I don't
he's talking
know.
About the movie. Mm-hmm. Is he talking about the movie or the book?
He's talking about the movie, but it still, I mean, it's a movie based on the book, and it supposedly follows the book very closely. So he's just talking about how it's lessening society that we put this film up on a pedestal.
We put porn up on a pedestal.
I would bet that he would say that is not good either.
I would expect him to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the a lot of technological advances that we've made has been a lot of it's been based on the backing of porn. Okay, what's going to make it, Betamax or VHS? Porn goes, we're going with VHS. VHS wins.
Yeah.
Blu-ray or HD DVD? Porn goes Blu-ray. Blu-ray wins.
Yeah.
We probably have a higher speed broadband because of porn.
Yes.
I'm tired of looking at them GIFs. 3 seconds of this chick getting it over in the eyes. Even I feel bad for her after about half an hour.
Yeah, what he's basically talking about is whether it's the book or the movie. It really doesn't matter. But it's because the movie's coming out this weekend. Is one set of people are going to look at the story as a billionaire playboy or a billionaire guy broadening the sexual horizons of a young woman.
And is that what the book's about?
Or?
Well
yes.
I need to know a couple things before I say anything. Is there any type of abuse?
Yeah. But
is all of it consensual?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what I need to know.
But that's what I'm saying is you have one set of people saying that it's a story about a man opening up a young woman's sexual
horizons,
thank you. And another says, here is a predatory-type male abusing a young, impressionable female.
Since I haven't read the book, anything that has to do with Fifty Shades of Grey, I wrote my own things, Fifty uh-huh. Shades of Black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most of that was Jane Brown.
Yes, we understand.
So I know nothing about the book. I'm certainly not going to buy it. even if it's free online, I'm going to read it. And it's never going to be a movie I'll see. If there's any type of abuse or pedophilia, then I'm not going to defend any of it.
No, there's
if it's just a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, there's no pedophilia, anything like that. The woman's of age. It's just he's a little bit older and she's just young and impressionable. Some women are turned on by the idea of an older, rich, billionaire man. Keep in mind, this was written as, you know, fan fiction, fantasy type stuff, and that became its own book series.
What if it's own genre of romantic novels?
Yeah.
With Fabio on the front with his hair blowing in the breeze after a duck hit him in the face. Yes. Dr. Thornton, your thoughts? You know anything about any of this?
I don't know much about it. All I know is that I've heard that it's really not that well written a book, and so a lot of people object to it on that level. It's just kind of poor literature. But
it is.
So why do you think it's – all right, we'll go to you, Alfie. Why do you think it's caught on if it's poorly written? Because I can write bad porn.
That's basically what it is. The idea is that all these house moms got a hold of it through their e-readers, and people just started noticing, hey, it's at the top of all these online bestseller lists. Some publisher decides to put it out in book form, and it sells a few million copies there.
Do you think it's because it's not really marketed, or there's nothing in the title of Willy Wonka and then the butt, really? There it is. The butt chocolate factory.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it doesn't have a controversial name.
Exactly. It's a little more discreet that way. Oh, honey, what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay. I was going back. I'm watching a murder she written.
Yeah. It's not like the title of it is, the purple-headed mushroom warrior.
It actually has a kind of an arty...
Versus Mothra.
What?
I'm sorry. It actually has a kind of an artsy sound to it. You know, I'm curious, yellow.
I can read part of this. Obviously, Dan. And I always have to preface this. We like Mark. Mark is a friend of the show.
I love Mark. And
haven't had him on since we came... it's been 5 years. Why they won't let him come on? What are the call letters? KSKY?
Yep, that's it. The answer.
Well, the answer is not whatever their programming is, because we've looked at the numbers.
Yeah.
And why they won't let Mark come on, I don't know.
They really should.
So a lot of times we just jump on him because we like him.
Yeah.
Mark Davis is from the Dallas Morning News. Was this from this morning?
Yeah.
Mark Davis, 50 Shades of Grey is evidence of a damaged society. Now, in my review, I already rewrote it and sent it to you, Dan.
Oh, that's right. Hang on. Let me pull that up.
Well, I can just tell you.
Yeah. Russ is. Yeah. Go ahead.
It would read the same way if it were in the Dallas Morning News.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Russ Martin, 50 Shades of Grey made my hard. And that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
That would just be the headline. There'd be no review. If you wanted me to expound on it, watch it. My got hard, and I figured that was the purpose. It's supposed to titillate, and I like to be able to get away with that.
Yeah.
Mark writes, the electricity fairly crackles. Millions of women are poised to breeze into movie theaters this weekend to immerse themselves into the filth that is 50 Shades of Grey. Do I need music?
No.
Okay. If there is anything more depressing than that, it is a playful clucking of media anticipation taking the tone that this is just a fun fantasy ride, a flight of fancy, 2 hours of escape. But it's more than that. That's a good read.
It is. Very nice.
Thank you. It is evidence of a damaged society, a nation that thinks it's just swell to celebrate the story of a predatory billionaire punk who victimizes a tragically vulnerable woman for his own sick entertainment. I can hear the condescending crackles of the oh-so-knowing cultural mainstream, many with Fandango receipts already in hand, poised to mock any who dare to suggest this is cultural rot. But 50 Shades is a far cry in substance and intent from the occasional edgy book or film that contains sexual or violent passages along the path of an otherwise notorious plot.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, that part bores me. Most of it so far. movies filled with tawdry sex will come and go, their worst sins amounting to mere mindless devotion to graphic visuals. This is far worse.
Mm.
Far worse.
Does he really say it twice?
No.
No, okay.
This is an attack on a virtuous manhood and a celebration of bad choices by women. And the pathetic thing is, the liberated throngs knocking back a few panoys can't be penance. How could P-I-N-O-T-S be pinwars?
Pinois.
Pinois?
Mm.
Still stupid.
Or pinos.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, when you're writing for a newspaper, there's a certain grade level you're not supposed to go over. And I'm not sure, but I think in journalism, they told us third grade.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Something close to that grade level, yeah, they did. But that was for news stories. Or as far as opinion stuff, column stuff, I don't know if Mark can do that.
Probably not. And I don't think he goes out of his way to use those words. It's just part of his vocabulary.
And honestly, I prefer this style of writing.
I don't like it when I don't know what the word means. And if there's no, you know, if you're going to use something like, what's the word? Pinot?
It's a style of wine.
Put something in there parenthetically, how to pronounce it.
Gotcha.
Or say what it means. Because in context or out of context, I still don't know what it means.
Well, the idea is when you read something, if you don't understand it, you look it up.
I don't want to.
Well, then.
If entertainment is that hard, then I am no longer entertained.
You may not be, but others may appreciate
it. Did you enjoy his op-ed piece? Or his
I enjoyed reading it from just an opinion standpoint because he does a good job of, you know, stirring the pot.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to write something. If I wrote for the Dallas Morning News and I just sent him the story of 50 Shades of Grey made my hard. Well, we're going to need at least another 8 or 9 inches of copy to fill in here. We'll say it made it really hard.
It's super big hard.
Yeah. I can get somebody to do some artwork.
The thing that I find interesting with a book like this is I can see both sides, people looking at it a certain way, one from a positive, one from a negative. But I do find it interesting whenever, especially a man, and this is probably mentioned by Mark in his piece, anytime a man feels the need to write a story like this, holding out an example of a young woman who made a choice on her own in this story, needing to be rescued still, even though it's her choice. She doesn't realize that she's being abused, and I need to help her. This poor young woman, she doesn't realize that she's being beaten.
I bet she knows she's being abused because she probably saw it in the script before she agreed to take the part.
But that's what I'm saying.
I know that oversimplifies it, but yeah, it is fantasy. The book is fantasy. Most movies are fantasy.
But that's
especially
why
after the first Die Hard, they went way into fantasy.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But then Bruce Willis ended up on asteroids saving the world. It's all fantasy. It goes back to suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Just go sit back and enjoy it. If it's not in a category of films that you enjoy, then don't watch it. You don't like action. You don't like love. You don't like the Notebook. You don't think like things like that. Don't watch it. Go watch Porky's. Cleanse your soul.
Mm-hmm. And what you just said is what he wrote early on in the piece about there are people that are going to say, it's just an escape. It's 2 hours. Why are you making a big deal out of it? Well, as part of his headline, you can see where he's like, this is a problem, not just for the movie or the book. It's a societal problem.
So maybe he really thinks, okay, then we're condoning abusing women even with their consent. Well,
yes.
There are people into S&M. I don't get it. And you ain't locking me up to nothing and hitting me with anything. Because I don't know what you're still pissed off about.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last February 15th? Oh, shit.
Here.
Can you unlock me from the bed before we talk about this? I cannot. Put your hand down. Oh, no. I swear to God, I sent the flowers 3 days before. It was FedEx. That's my balls. Open your mouth. Baby, I don't want to.
Whew, man, on the tongue. Wow.
Snapped it right out of your ass.
So,
my point is, I don't like any pain associated. I dated a chick one time. She goes, I want my hair pulled. I went, how hard? She goes, just, I'll tell you when. And I went, wow, how much hair? She was just, you know, get a big clump there at the back. And I couldn't do it. She goes, harder. I'm not digging this. She goes, do you want me to show you on you? I went, no, because I don't like that. I don't hop into bed and think, yeah, I want to visualize things that go on in Gitmo. Waterboard me. Make me stand on a box dressed like a witch with wires coming out of my fingers.
Yeah, you know it was awkward at some point for a CIA agent to realize, oh, this terrorist is getting turned on. Damn. We're going to go a different angle. Do you have to go figure out a different method?
Bigger lamp! Bigger lamp!
Yeah, that lamp you shoved up his ass, that's not near big enough. You can need one of them floor lamps, probably with the Tiffany shade on it. And obviously next time, we never pick anybody that's into water sports to waterboard. Are you ducking me in bis?
This is piss.
What?
This is piss.
Yeah. Waterboard me all you want. Hey. Are you going to tell us your secrets? Codename Twink Toilet. I'm skipping a lot, which isn't fair to Mark. I'll jump to the end because we got a break. Maybe this is just an extension of the catnip value of all those vampire movies ravenously consumed by women drawn to the take charge romanticism of the undead. I think we get what we've skipped.
Yeah.
In 2015, having Edward and Jacob fight over you in the woods no longer suffices.
Twilight.
Okay. Now, the taste is for a harder fix. This weekend's 50 Shades target audience and any self-respecting or woman-respecting men unwise enough to accompany them are rewarding a low cultural exploit that will appeal to our basest appetites. Well, then that's a perfect movie. I know I read it poorly, but if you really want to appeal to everybody, you go back to the core, the id, the ego. Superego, leave that out. And that's what they want to do when they're making movies. We'd like to make money. Well, then you appeal to our id.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
See there?
And that's from a doctor.
That'll win you some tickets, for sure. That'll get you some tickets.
The film's defenders will corral armies of straw men that people have a right to make such movies and to see them, neither of which is at issue. The debate is over the societal merit of this garbage. I look forward to hearing the attempts to praise it. The Mark Davis Show airs from 7 to 10 a.m. weekdays on KSKY 660 a.m. Mark Davis can be reached at markdavisshow@gmail.com. Couldn't even get him a Case Guy email address.
Yeah.
I got my own business, multi-million-dollar business. Email me at multi-million-dollar@yahoo.
we'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
It's Dan O'Malley for New Fine Arts, and obviously Valentine's Day is this weekend. And there are only, you know, only so many days left for you to figure out, well, hell, what am I going to get her? Or what am I going to get him?
Man, I'm at a loss.
So?
Are we still doing the 50 Shades of play?
We are.
Let me bring the train on in. Hit it, brother.
Thank you, sir. And to celebrate Valentine's Day, the biggest day of the year for New Fine Arts, days leading up to as well, they are celebrating with 50 Shades of play. Today is shade 35, lotions, potions, and creams. Oh, my. New Fine Arts carries the lubes and creams to enhance your lovemaking, from water-based to silicone.
I gave the 10 man a reach around once.
And I bet in order to make all that happen, probably had to stop in a new fine arts to get some stuff.
I did. I had to pick up some WD-40.
They've got it all. Again, whether it's water, silicone, whatever it is, they've got it. And if you're not sure in what environment is the best to use which kind, ask them. They know. They'll tell you.
Say, I want to make myself a yellow brick road. They can tell me how to do that.
They absolutely can.
Love them.
They're good people. They know their stuff. Don't forget, New Fine Arts has everything else you need for you and your partner to spice up Valentine's Day. From lubes, vibrators, sexy lingerie, thousands of DVDs. If you're wondering, I'm not really sure what to get him or her, go to New Fine Arts. They will steer you.
They got DVDs?
Yes, in the right direction.
Huh?
I was finishing my sentence.
Oh. What categories of DVDs they got?
What's your favorite?
I like women.
They got it.
All kinds of women?
Mm-hmm. Little women, big women, tall women, fat women.
Women that climb on rocks.
Probably got some of that too. Cliff porn.
Even women with chicken pox.
That you may have to ask about. But again, just go and ask.
They got any DVDs with quadriplegics? You know, those women that work in the legal field.
Wow. Get your heart on at New Fine Arts for Valentine's Day, where 50 Shades of Play comes to life every day. Please talk to them and not to Russ. Three locations in Dallas, 1720 West Mockingbird, 1966 West Northwest Highway, Shiloh Road at Northwest Highway for Valentine's Day. Make sure you get into New Fine Arts.
This is Alfie Coy. The tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
638, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Texas Lottery. It started off in Dallas, eastbound I-30, just before Grand Avenue. Still got some major slowdown from earlier when cops were pulling idiots over in the HOV lane. That has traffic jacked up back from Hampton Road. Also in Plano, northbound 75, right at Plano Parkway, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic there is still jacked up all the way back from the High 5. Both of those accidents, about a 15-minute delay through them. Never miss a moment of the show by subscribing to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives today at russmartin.fm. Proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
From the Staples Weather Center, Eagle Weather brought to you by Don Davis Auto Group. Clear skies, 39 for a low this evening. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 57. Right now, it's 63 degrees at 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
What do you got on hold, Alfie?
Those are people calling about 50 Shades.
Yeah. Fever has been become addicted to the grind. This is only to screw up that guy that was having sex like that. Leave that boy behind. Did you hear that email from earlier?
Yeah.
Guy was banging his wife.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, oh, that's right. I asked you about that when you came in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Noel. All right. Sounds like he's already finished 50 Shades. Kimberly?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have had this argument with you before. I think that you have a problem with women having fantasies.
I don't have a problem with the 50 Shades of Grey. They're just things I'm into, things I'm not into. I thought it was odd that Mark Davis would pick this and said this is like the
moral measure of our society.
Yeah, it's like the fall of Rome.
Yeah, he's basically saying as a society we're okay with, you know, beating young women.
But that's not even what it is. It's not. That's different than a man lashing out at a woman in anger and beating the crap out of her is different than in a bedroom in a safe environment where you're just exploring your fantasies.
Well, it just goes to the difference of consensual. Non-consensual.
Exactly.
That's what the entire thing is, and I'm going to guess, obviously, I've never read the 50 Shades.
I have.
But it's obviously fantasy, things that you might want to think about and pleasure yourself too, but things you wouldn't really want to act on in real life?
I don't know. I think it's a mix of both. I think it starts out when you're reading it and when you see the movie as a fantasy, but then you kind of want to experiment with that and say, wow, I might be interested in that. But that's different than domestic violence. It's totally different.
It is, and I don't think Mark said anywhere in there. He sort of alluded to it in his op-ed piece or his commentary of you got a chick that doesn't really know. She's of consenting age, but doesn't really know what's going on. And you've got somebody that's older that's guiding her, making poor choices for her.
Yeah, and in essence,
I think it makes him sound like kind of a prude.
Who, Mark?
A prude, yes.
Yeah, he is, but he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
I mean, I'm for the most part a good guy, but I'm an a-hole.
I mean, Russ, if I were to pick a radio polar opposite, it would be Mark Davis. He's very conservative. I mean, in all things. So
you think I'm liberal?
I think that you are liberal in this subject.
I'm just open-minded. If you like something and you want to do it, and it's legal and everybody's consenting to it,
exactly.
And that's fine. But how dare you call me liberal?
I think you are liberal on this subject, which is fair. That's a fair argument.
I don't think open-minded and liberal really should be the same thing.
They shouldn't, but that's what they've turned into.
That's what they've become.
Mark Davis is going to introduce it as a topic of conversation between, like, the downfall of society. I don't think that that's it. I mean, obviously, you look at enough porn for all of us in the total Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Thank you.
So, you want to talk about the downfall of society, we can talk about porn and what that really is.
We have always had sin, and it's been delivered to us in many different
forms,
whatever. And society has always succeeded, and for the most part, morality has always won. Everybody has their secrets. Everyone has their fantasies.
Yeah, but I think that in particular, this book and this movie has opened up women's fantasies where they didn't really have, you know, that there wasn't really a topic of conversation on it before this, before it became so mainstream that they were comfortable talking about it. Comfortable talking about fantasies. Women just don't do that.
Well, let me ask you this. You've obviously read the book. Have you ever read any of the other romantic novels with Fabio and whatever on the front? How is 50 Shades different from those?
Because it's so much more about S&M. That's the simplest way I can put it. Like, you can read romance novels, and those are about more the flowery parts of sex, whereas 50 Shades goes into the S&M part of it. And that's that part of society that is kind of, we don't really talk about it. It's not proper.
We don't talk about it because there's not a situation where you go, hey, we're having, you know, after dinner drinks here at Three Forks. Who likes paint clamps? All right, I got to go, sweetie. Thank you.
I do love a good taint clamp buffer.
Is there anyone here that likes to be whipped with a car antenna? Like Garrett Morris said he liked.
I like a woman with a big butt. You know, something you can hang on to and hit with a car antenna.
That would probably be celebrated in the 50 Shades.
He throws in the, you know, like there's a point of reference.
Like everyone on the panel.
Butt. You know what size butt I'm talking about. One you can hang on to and hit with a car engine.
Let me break it down for you.
That's a clip from SNL from the 70s. I guess I should have asked her because she said, well, you and I have had an argument about this before. I don't know what argument I would have had. I'm not into the book. I'm not into S&M. I'm not into romance novels. I'd like to think I'm like most guys. I'm straightforward. You start looking at porn, I don't want to see people talking at a bar going, hey, are you into me? Mm-hmm. Or opening the front door to the house, Well, that's not the pizza I ordered. I want to get straight to the part where they cut the hole in the box and stick their thing through it.
And while that's great for you, there are going to be other types that will use porn, male or female. They'll see porn or erotica and see, they'll use it as a way to explore, to see new things. Be like, hey, I never thought about that. I might like that. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Maybe not with a hot pizza.
Try to stick my through a Papa John's. I'll try that. See what it's like. Or just, you know, do it myself at the house with the DiGiorno's. Just the hot things that they pick in porn. Because, it's like I said before, I never listen to or look at porn with audio.
Right.
Audio's muted. I have no interest. I don't want to hear the music. I don't want to hear screams. I don't want to hear anything.
You don't want to hear all the production value.
So I don't know what the conversation is when the door opens and she looks at the pizza and goes, well, that's not the right thing. And the next thing, there's a hole cut in the box and she sucked right through the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not complaining, which means that pizza's cold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the pizza's also staying in one spot, which means you know it's not pizza. Or it's just glued hard.
You already know you've made a mistake if the pizza don't move around in the box. And there's already a hole cut through it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we cut the hole in there. This is our part of our guarantee.
Yeah.
In case you're unhappy. Really? I have... Claude, just hand me some coffee. I have one more?
Yes, one more.
I like these companies, but I have never seen a bigger push on Valentine's Day. I don't know why this year, and not just this station, but it's almost as big of a push this year on in all forms of media than Christmas. Where you've got the jewelry stores and everything else. I don't remember as many Christmas spots from 2014 as many Valentine spots. Everything right now.
Yeah, I think it's just because it's so concentrated.
Yeah, everybody's pushing it, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, they always do. It just seems this year it's a little more.
And everything's tied into it. You know, sure, your lady would like an oil change for Valentine's Day.
That's right.
Just all these different products that you're like, huh?
Yeah, if you have a business of some sort, you have to have a Valentine's tie-in. Like Chloe said, if you love your woman, you better get her an oil change. Make sure she's driving safe. You know what she needs? NTB. She needs her tires balanced and rotated. Show her you love her. Even David Pigeon from Star Power last week was like, Valentine's Day is coming up. Wouldn't she love a new flat screen?
Yeah. Every bitch likes a big flat screen.
Or the angle of, hey, you got her something nice. Get something for yourself.
That's going to be the biggest one that's going to appeal to men. Mm-hmm. You got something nice for her. Get something for yourself.
Also.
Because all these spots, no slam against them, but they're all targeted towards men buying something for your woman.
Right. It's also a good cover. So if you get her a really nice box of Sherry's Berries along with flowers from Pro Flowers, et cetera.
And lubes.
And lubes from a nice gift basket from New Fine Arts. Those are all great for her and she'll enjoy them. But it's also a nice head fake for when you have the guys come in to install your new TV from Star Power. Wow. She won't care that you spent money on that because she's going to be busy with her new toys.
I don't want to watch TV now. I'm busy with my New Fine Arts stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this DVD of... these paraplegic chicks on Boston Legal.
TV installers.
That TV wasn't installed right. Well, why don't you suck my
That's it.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
.658, this is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Not a whole lot going on right now. Let's get started off in Dallas. Northbound 75 just before Royal Lane. Got an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Traffic is backed up back from Mockingbird. And in Grapevine, southbound 121 right at Hall Johnson Road. Got an accident there. It's blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from the 114-121 Western Split. Let's listen to Curtis Ryan tomorrow morning at 12:25 in the afternoon. First shot of 4-pack of tickets to AMA Supercross. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle Weather brought to you by half-price books. Clear skies tonight, 39. Tomorrow, sunny, 57. Right now, 63. And 97.1, the Eagle.
For the first time ever, Pretty Little Dan, Inc. brings to the market the first truly affordable pleasuring device. We wanted to provide a product that anyone could afford. So without further ado, PLD, Inc. is proud to introduce the 1995 Doodoo Dando. That's right, you can ram your holes with Dan's steamy... When you order a doo-doo dando, Dan promptly heads into a special chamber to produce a one-of-a-kind doo-doo pookie stick. When Dan is done, his stinky is shellacked, preserved, and then shipped straight to your loved one. Same-day shipping is guaranteed. Imagine the look on your partner's face when they receive their doo-doo dando. Valentine's Day will never be the same. And coming soon, just in time for Mardi Gras, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the Voodoo Doo-Doo Dando. It's the Doo-Doo Dando with the flavor of New Orleans. We force-fed Dan a proprietary blend of jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo, a guitar, a full fruit jar, and a gayo to make this a one-of-a-kind festive dando. But order the Valentine's Day Doo-Doo Dando now before Dan gets the runs, because nobody wants gooey runny in their big ass. Another proud product of PLD Inc.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
And then Dan blames me because I voiced it. I didn't write it. Flo and Alfie wrote that one.
It's on them.
No, it's on the three of you. It's a collaboration. No. See, this is how it works. If this was a Grammy nomination, you would be the one accepting the award
because I was the performer.
Yes, and you also had a writing credit.
There are also awards for the writers.
There are, and that would have a separate award that Chloe and Alfie would also put on their mantle. But thank God that this is not a category on the Grammys because nasty.
You're going to be out of luck if we ever win a Marconi because of these spots.
If because of these spots we win a Marconi, I will mail out my own stuff to whoever wants it. Here you go.
You go into the specials chamber.
Mm-hmm. And I'll eat nothing but...
jambalaya, crawfish pie, billy gumbo, fruit jar, guitar, yeah, and a gayo.
All that.
Because you have to eat all that.
That's fine. Don't want some hot sauce while you're at it, sure.
That's the special blend.
Mm-hmm.
Proprietary blend. Now we're going to have to call Gibson and see what happens if I eat an acoustic guitar. The only thing I did is I voiced it and I picked the music. And sometimes that's the hardest part. Get to do the doo-doo, doo-doo dando, doo-doo-doo.
The doo-doo that you do.
Run, run, run. All right, now I'm taking the crystals. Do-do, run, run, run. And the jambalaya, the New Orleans, that was easy. You hear it again?
Yeah.
Good, I love the milk bits.
For the first time ever, Pretty Little Dan, Inc. brings to the market the first truly affordable pleasuring device. We wanted to provide a product that anyone could afford. So without further ado, PLD, Inc. is proud to introduce the 1995 Doodoo Dando. That's right, you can ram your holes with Dan's steamy... When you order a Doodoo Dando, Dan promptly heads into a special chamber to produce a one-of-a-kind doo-doo pookie stick. When Dan is done, his stinky is shellacked, preserved, and then shipped straight to your loved one. Same-day shipping is guaranteed. Imagine the look on your partner's face when they receive their doo-doo dando. Valentine's Day will never be the same. And coming soon, just in time for Mardi Gras, PLD Inc. is proud to introduce the Voodoo Doo-Doo Dando. It's the Doo-Doo Dando with the flavor of New Orleans. We force-fed Dan a proprietary blend of jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo, a guitar, a full fruit jar, and a gayo to make this a one-of-a-kind festive dando. But order the Valentine's Day Doo-Doo Dando now before Dan gets the runs, because nobody wants gooey runny in their big ass. Another proud product of PLD Inc.
What else you got, Dan?
Really?
That's one spot. They're all complimentary. It's people are so enamored by you and
No, they're not.
Your good looks that they want different parts of your body.
No, see, that's not true.
It obviously is true. Chloe, You and Alfie, you guys get most of the fan email, yeah?
All positive feedback.
Okay. Oh, well, what I'm saying
is positive feedback.
Well, they go through and they read through and they go, oh, yes, we think Dan's attractive. We would like more products from Dan's body.
No, there's not one email like that.
Alfie?
They're all like that.
See, you're saying that there was a demand for the product, and that's not true.
If you they will come.
You're not going to clap on that.
I will accept that on two levels.
Mm-hmm.
That one should get me a Marconi.
I'm gonna send that in.
Okay. Maybe I am a genius.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. He said, if you shit, they will come. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Look at you, double entendre.
If there ever was a mic drop moment.
Then the FCC listens to it and they go, all right, what are we getting on?
Can't really get him on anything, Mr. Chairman. I'm still laughing at it.
I felt like I just won the gold in the Olympics. Okay.
And the way you threw your arms up at the end, it was just like you stuck the landing off the...
Perfect dismount.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't really dawn on me what I said until I said it, and I went,
Hey.
I have been given another gift. If you they will come. All right, I want that on my tombstone. I've decided now.
Got it.
I meant my gravestone, not my pizza.
I understand.
Did you say you wanted the and pizza? Okay. What do we have left?
Oh, yeah, let's top all that. There's a nonprofit organization in Taiwan called Hand Angels, and their mission is simple. They give sexual favors to severely disabled people. There are 10 volunteers, and they use their hands to pleasure people with conditions like muscular dystrophy and other physical disabilities. They say they do it because disabled people can get all sorts of assistance from the government, but their sexuality is neglected.
Would they beat me off if I got carpal tunnel?
I'm sure you have to apply, but I don't see why not.
Does it cost?
I'm not sure of the exact cost.
It's charity, though, isn't it?
It is.
I got carpal tunnel.
Okay.
I also have a back injury that Jim Adler's working on right now. Hey, by the way, did you know if you they will come?
I've heard. They found it does amazing things for people's mental health.
Well, obviously, because their endorphins that are released is when you get to the point of the orgasm.
Yeah.
And you also feel like, okay, I'm no longer just this being that's going to lay here until I die. At least somebody will come in and they will use certain gesticulations on my genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
If I they will come.
Yes.
So you don't no longer feel just like a vegetable.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. And they found it does amazing things for people's mental health. Now, you have to apply to get the service, and if you're accepted, you get 3 visits from the Hand Angels.
Is that a week?
It actually doesn't say.
A month? Don't make it a year. Do they provide tissues, or I just got to shoot?
That may be something you'd have to discuss with your provider.
So I got to talk to... Aetna?
I don't think your insurance provider, I mean the provider of the handy.
Oh. But I might have to check with my insurance company to see if they provide for the handies or the tissues.
I'm going to guess, like most insurance companies, they're probably not going to cover everything you want them to.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
So you think there's going to be a cum pay?
I'm sorry?
Copay? How much extra to finish in their eyes? Oh.
Patients might be gay or straight, and the volunteers are both men and women. So,
is it just got to be people, or can I get a macaque monkey?
Okay, you know what? Just because the...
I've always had this fantasy, even though I've been paralyzed, serving my country.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be masturbated by a kangaroo and then shoot in his pouch. Or her pouch. Whoever gets the pouches.
There's a man named Andy. He recently had his first session with the Hand Angels, and he says the service was great.
It sounds like hands from God.
Does it say what the qualifications have to be? I mean, is it just...
You have to apply.
Let's say you were in a car wreck and you were drunk and you were paralyzed through your own doing.
I don't know.
Okay. Because if it's military and you served our country and you sacrificed for our country, I think you get a hand job from the commander in chief. I'm crapping you negative. If I served our country and I lost a limb or something and I want a hand job from the commander in chief, I think I deserve it.
I don't know if most military people I've run across,
they probably wouldn't want it, but right. If they ask for it, I think they're due.
Well, I think it's in the Constitution. But
what?
I think it's in the Constitution.
The commander got a jerky?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's not.
All right, so can I wear gloves?
Nice dress gloves.
Or do I have to hand raw dog it?
A man named Andy.
What country is this, by the way?
Taiwan.
Yeah, it's a big story in Taiwan. Hey, we're jerking off paralyzed people. Oof. Big deal. Brian Williams lied about getting shot down in a helicopter.
But I mean, this really shows that this country really cares about its,
Taiwan
invalids. Anyway, a man named Andy recently had his first session with the Hand Angels and said the service was great. It opened him up emotionally and helped him feel more comfortable interacting with people. He said the whole process was full of respect and equality. This might be deemed as controversial by society, but what we desire is no different from others.
Will they make eye contact or they do look away when I finish?
Again, I think that's something that you can work out with your particular provider.
My health care provider or the hand job provider?
The handy provider. Your hand angel.
Yeah, they are. That's a gift from God. It's like I'm on cloud.
What is it?
Nine?
Nine shooting up to ten.
Dr. Thornton, can you think of any psychological reason this would be bad?
No. I mean, I think it's... I'm surprised no one's thought of it before.
Probably because in this country it would be seen as some type of prostitution and deemed illegal.
There's that.
Because technically it is.
Because that's what it is.
You're paying for a sexual favor. I mean,
well, but you also, if you're bedridden, then you have to worry about...
atrophy?
Yeah. I don't want my penis to atrophy.
That's where you go to rehab.
Well, put yourself in the place of the invalid. You can't take care of yourself. I mean,
that would
be grateful?
Be my first thought. If I was paralyzed, but I could still feel around my pelvic region,
mm-hmm.
and somebody were to come in and offer to handicize my area, I'd be grateful. And I would call them hand angel.
God bless you.
I don't care if I... got beat off by a horse. You my hoof angel.
Oh, God.
Or a zebra. Or
oh, no.
That's going to have to be a two-hump camel. Get the hump camel.
The what? Oh.
It'll Stick it between the two humps. Squeeze them together. Was that not clear enough?
Yeah, I got it.
He's got it now.
Well, I had to set it up a little bit because there are one-hump camels, and you can't hump a camel with one hump. They got to have two humps. And then you can hump. And then if you want to look at a real camel toe, it's right there. No. I miss going to Lion Country Safari for sex.
It's where you get the little bag of feed and you cut a hole in the bottom of it.
And the giraffe looks at me and goes, "That's not what I ordered." No, don't give me the nod. We can't go out on...
I'm just standing here. We can go out on a lot of things.
Okay, move on. Give me one more and we'll see what we got.
According to a new survey, only 26% of women say that they expect to do something on Valentine's Day when you've just started dating. Mm-hmm. Also, 38% of men feel the same.
So I'm in the clear with this theoretical possible new chick that I met last weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
This new chick that does not exist. Or might.
Please elaborate.
Yeah, good luck, Doc. That's as much as we've gotten all week.
I couldn't really decide whether to talk about it this past Monday or not.
Yeah.
So before the show, I said, we just played this yesterday.
It was early in the show, though.
Okay.
And he hasn't heard it.
I know.
We're here, so play it for
him. So we played this right before the show, Monday. Before the show opening music, before anything.
Okay.
And you being close to my age, you'll get the genre that we're shooting for here.
Okay. Ah, yeah. Film noir.
It was a beautiful Monday afternoon. Or... a cool Tuesday morning. And the problem that's vexed me all weekend still preys heavily on my heart. Do I share with the guys the story of the beautiful woman I met and the weekend we spent, and run the risk of ruining the relationship? Do I share or keep it a secret? I was working my part-time job as a music organ grinder with my monkey underneath a sign that said, "Bucky's coming soon." Business was slow. She walked by. Our eyes met. We went back to her place. She played the grinder and the monkey danced. And then I came in the room. The sex was exquisite. It was like an atomic explosion in my pants. There was nothing left but a shadow of my penis on the carpet. But the problem still exists. Do I share the story of my exotic weekend or keep it a secret forever? I was about to come to a conclusion. And then the show music started.
Very suspenseful, boss.
And that's the way it played out. That everybody wants to know. Was it real? Did you really do something? What happened?
I'm hooked.
Well?
Ah, that bitch crazy.
Who was it?
I don't want to say too much.
Because?
If I leave names out, then she can think possibly I some other bitch crazy that weekend. So it's not her I'm talking about. Does that make sense?
It only needs to make sense to this person.
Well, what I've already said is I've screwed up by telling you guys anything and creating that bit, because I've always said anybody that sleeps with me right off, it's not going to be long term.
Right.
So I've already really damned the relationship to begin with.
You don't have to. You guys may have just had a great connection. You're choosing to damn the relationship.
How many long-term relationships have you had where you slept with them right off? hand to God.
One or two?
That was long term?
Yeah.
What about Terry, your current wife?
Well, that's not up for discussion.
Did you that bitch crazy first night?
First of all, let's not refer to her in that manner.
Well, that's in a...
It's in a what?
It's a compliment. Isn't
it? Yeah, it's a compliment.
Oh, okay.
It's in context.
Well, to me, that's not a compliment. Well,
all right. I'm sorry. Did you your wife crazy the first night?
No.
I think it's the ones where they don't make you wait. Both of you kind of decide. It's not even spoken. You just mentally have decided to wait. Which is kind of stupid because it's all mental. But
yeah.
Well, it's just there was never a conversation of let's wait. You just kind of knew. Okay? Kind of fooled around. Got this far. Went home with some Smurf balls. And then finally when you get to that moment, you go, all right. I don't have to negotiate and go, well, let me just rub it around the edge. We're not playing that game.
No.
They're into it. I'm into it. We've already made that connection without actually speaking it. So to me, that's a deeper relationship than actually having a talk.
Right on.
That is a load of crap.
Thornton?
All he did, what? Scott,
you
was give out of
you,
way.
You let him talk.
He's been sucked into your web of
you
deceit.
Shut up.
Explain, Dan. What do you mean?
See? What he's just said is basically a roundabout way of saying a way that he doesn't have to talk to her or communicate.
So he doesn't have to say whether they're going to be exclusive or not? Is
mm-hmm.
that the point? Okay. I'm sorry.
That's not what I said.
But that's what it leads to.
That is not what it led to. It's
you said it yourself.
Exclusivity
so
had nothing to do with it. It's getting to a point in a relationship where both of you didn't have to negotiate. You didn't have to sell her on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have to push you away. It just progresses naturally. And both of you finally get to the point of, without the conversation, let's do this. Now,
I like that, and
that's what I said.
Yeah,
and the word you said, so we don't have to talk about it.
No, I said we didn't have to.
Right,
the conversation wasn't needed
mm-hmm.
because we let the relationship progress in a natural fashion.
And I see it as that's indicative of you not wanting to talk about things in general.
Wow, Dan, I just got into a new relationship and you're already dumping on him, man.
Are you still on my side?
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry. You're on this side, Dan.
Okay.
But in this situation, uh-huh. I'm at the chick underneath the Bucky's coming soon billboard.
Right.
We go back to her place the first night. She don't know if I could really support myself. All I got's an organ grinder and a monkey.
Maybe she was on a scavenger hunt.
And then she lets me her the first night. Probably not going to be a long-term relationship. She may stay in touch with a monkey.
Yeah, where's the monkey?
Did you say Bucky's coming soon?
Yeah.
I thought you said monkey coming soon. Like you're out there with an organ.
All right, no.
Wow. Oh, now you draw a line.
Simeon Memo.
For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for The Russ Martin Show video and audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm.
I'm stopping here. Look at that billboard.
He's almost ready.
Other show websites, DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. You can also find and follow us all on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That includes Dr. Scott Thornton at Dr. Scott Thornton, that's his handle. For all things 97.1 The Eagle, go to KEGL.com, where Nikki Sixx is up next. For all things talk radio 1190, go to 1190talkradio.com, where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right. See you guys tomorrow.
Later.
The Metroplex.